what the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities. When I wrote the book, I started to write it four years ago. It was published 3 years ago. It was sold, very interesting, over a million times in the world. And what is interesting is that 800,000 copies, more than 800,000 copies of those 2 million were sold in three countries alone, China, Japan, and South Korea. And you may be interested, who was the biggest buyer with 16,000 copies at the same time? It was the Korean military. Because the fourth industrial revolution will have a major impact also on warfare.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Sunday, March 21st, 2021. It's an interesting show today. You might be surprised and going, wait a minute, how is Ryan streaming onto YouTube right now? And I bet you YouTube is saying the same thing. It'll probably get cut halfway through the show somewhere, but we have somebody who is letting us help. They're helping the Last American Vagabond get the information out across YouTube, just even if momentarily. So the point is, until they delete us, we were censored on YouTube. We were censored on YouTube. We were censored on YouTube. Hopefully that gets out there and people on the YouTube world that thought we just disappeared over the last week. But today, as you will note, we are streaming on YouTube as well as a lot of other platforms, but it will be a long show. So buckle in, because we have, hopefully I won't, you know, make it go as long as I have in the past, but there's a lot to get into and every single topic has something incredibly important. So for those that love to watch this show as their news broadcast of the day, we are going to cover it all. And of course, for those that continue to give me a hard time about saying concise in the title, remember that we are going over probably 3 days of news today. And that is, in fact, the definition of concise, not short, but compact and jammed full of information. And yes, sometimes I'm not concise. I know that. But we will get through all of this today and get into the very important information, some of which you might have already seen in regard to the AstraZeneca vaccine, because you might have seen I had a bunch of interviews over the last couple of days. I'll note a couple in the beginning. So I've been keeping a lot of this off to the side. But many of you might have seen the developments with the AstraZeneca vaccine and might be asking, wait a minute, doesn't that prove that we were, yes, it does, that we were correct in the concerns we had and the media were gaslighting and saying, you're fake news for arguing this is possible. And then we come out and follow, it's possible, not just possible, it's the fact. And now we're reeling about why it's still okay to use, even though we just got vindicated. We're also going to talk about nanotechnology again today and a concerning step forward. And somebody shared with me another document that follows up the Converging Technologies document. Thank you. You know who you are. We will go over that in part today. Now, we're also going to get into a lot around the vaccine, more than just AstraZeneca, and how it's all being manipulated and how Israel is using the Pfizer vaccine, just like the United States, and is being charged with crimes against humanity. It is currently being looked over by the Hague International Court. Because a law firm has in fact submitted a lawsuit for crimes against humanity for using this vaccine on people. The simple as that. You see, in the US, we would think that's a hero. That's a heroic act of freedom and liberty. No, because the people over there are going, yeah, that's unapproved and still being tested. Hence, it's experimental. And then you're giving it to children and pregnant women and so on. So that's a crime. That's experimentation on humanity, crimes against humanity. Funny how we can have such a different perspective, isn't it? Well, these people are experts, lawyers, and you'll find it quite interesting what they have to say. Now, off the bat, let's start off with just a couple of interesting things that I want to go over. Some things that are just a couple of notes, you know, from the ether, as it were, like for Biden and different things. And then we're going to jump right in today to start with the vaccine AstraZeneca discussion, because I do find that to be very relevant, not just because of what it shows you, but because of how the media and the expert community responded to genuine criticism that's now shown to be justified, right? Before is the important part, but we'll go through that today together so you can see what we're talking about. But again, to start off, I wanted to make, that's right. I left this note for myself so you guys, so I could throw this out to you. I'll just bring this up anyway, since I'm talking here. But for those out there, before we get into this video, this clip, or actually, I'm just going to mention this clip. The reason that we're streaming on YouTube today is because of somebody else who allowed that to be the case. So I thought of something quite interesting. Now, again, the point of me doing this is I'm not even sure if I will continue to do that, even though I have this outlet, and even though they might censor the entire channel based off this one stream. But I'm not even sure if I even want to continue to push onto YouTube, to completely honest. But until new things happen that are going to be happening very soon at the end of the month in regard to new platforms, I feel like I might want to keep pushing it out there. So we'll see. I'm not sure. But the point is that I'm getting to is if you're out there thinking how I would like to help Ryan get on YouTube or get elsewhere to help people see his message in places where they won't allow him to put it. Well, I'll tell you what. Reach out to me, Ryan at thelastamericanvagabond.com or Twitter or anywhere else. And if you want, send me your stream keys. I know that's a taboo no-no thing. And, you know, you can trust me, but, you know, shouldn't trust anybody with that regard. But if you're willing, send me your streaming information. And I will use my multi-streaming platform to stream to multiple YouTube channels. Now, imagine that. Imagine if tomorrow we're doing a show and you've got four different channels on YouTube broadcasting the same show that they're trying to cut away and nobody really want anybody to see it. I just find that to be hilarious. Personally, I hope all of you are just fleeing like crazy away from YouTube. But in this sense, I find it to be entertaining that we can still push this out there. So if you want to, please reach out to me, send me the information. And I can't promise it'll happen with everybody, but I will try to stream to as many as possible. If that ends up happening, who knows? Maybe nobody will do it. And I totally get it. Cause I don't know. I don't think I would ever send my stream out anywhere else, but you understand the circumstances as it is today. We're trying to fight for the truth. And in a time where they're censoring literally anything that contradicts what they're saying, even in regard to things like AstraZeneca. But before we get to that, I want to make a couple of comments here. This is a great show from UK Call News with Patrick Henningsen from 21st Century Wire. And they mention a lot of stuff, but they get into the Gert von Bosch, got the discussion of that letter. Now, it's so interesting the way that people are, even people in this community, are so quick to take something in such a polarized view. Of all people, me, to do one interview, and I stand behind that. I thought it was a very interesting and very informative. I don't agree with necessarily every single perspective Rosemary has, but I thought it was a really strong interview about the concerns, the skepticism. But suddenly a lot of people, including the people on this community, assumed that I thought that there was absolutely nothing there and everything should be dismissed. And I don't even know why anybody in this community would think that, regardless of whether I said it. I'm constantly saying that's not what we should be doing. The point is that just because we have concerns does not mean that the points they're making here, and rightly so, are not something we should consider. I mean, this is the point I tried to make, maybe not well enough, that at the end of the day, we should be able to recognize that somebody in a position of influence in these circles is saying we shouldn't be using these mRNA vaccines. That alone is something we should go, yes, that's important. We should look at it. But if the argument is leading into something that we would also go, well, that's just as alarming, more vaccination in a different way with the same people. The point is we should be immediately skeptical of whether that's the whole reason it's happening. Do I know that? No, nobody does. I'm just as interested in what he said, but the counterbalance makes me very skeptical. That doesn't mean people like Patrick Henningsen should ignore the discussion. I think they're covering it very, very well. Likewise, I think Rosemary pointed out a lot of very valid things that we should be concerned about. The problem is that people are just today so polarized and everything is absolute certainty. So the problem is when we're actually being objective and waiting for the story to flesh out, some people who only want answers can't stand that. And that's sadly, those are the people that have been completely broken by mainstream media. In any sense, watch this video if you'd like to find out more about what they're talking about. It's a very well done discussion. And same thing with like Del Bigtree and RFK Jr. and the Children's Health Defense, right? I mean, they're taking the stance that this is something important to point out, but I disagree with taking that stance from my perspective because of how skeptical I am of where that seems to be leading. Doesn't mean they shouldn't be covering it. Doesn't mean that they're bad because they covered it. I shouldn't even have to say all that, but here we are in the current day of manipulation. Now, going forward, I had a great discussion with Christian Westbrook from Ice Age Farmer, or the Ice Age Farmer from his channel. very, very intelligent guy. I'm really glad we connected. I've been interested in his work for quite a long time and just really glad we got a chance to discuss this, but I recommend you take a listen for yourself. It's entitled, excuse me, Impending, in parentheses, Planned Food Infrastructure Collapse to Build Back Better. And we go over a lot of really interesting things. I mean, if you want to get the in-depth discussion, listen to his channel. This is more of an intro into what he's been going over for people that want to hear about what he has to say. And it's very fascinating about how they know that this is coming in his belief. And I agree. And that they're, and that is possibly the impetus for the entire push to Jenner 2030 and all of this, at least a huge motivator. And guess what? They're not telling you. And now they're constantly trying to take actions that possibly lessen the population, put the food source control into their control. Gee, I wonder why Bill Gates is buying up all that farmland. You know, it all seems to fall together with fake meat and fake baby milk and all the stuff they're doing. But take a listen. Great show. Now, on another interesting note, Whitney Webb just shared this with me. And this is kind of out of nowhere, but it had to be mentioned somewhere. We've talked about the idea of the Capitol and January 6th and the whole very clear manipulation that went along with all of that. That's not to claim that there wasn't, or not to say that there wasn't obvious crimes that were committed and obvious violence that was committed by all sorts of people. But when you find out that two of the main militia groups that were there had FBI people in leadership positions, it'd be okay. Well, that seems perfectly expected from the FBI. On top of that, as Alan's pointing out, just noticing that a new detention memo filed today, this was March 19th, prosecutors say that former special forces operator Jeffrey McKellop, who's been charged with multiple assaults against cops at the Capitol, deployed as recently as 2018 as, guess what, a CIA contractor. You know, what do you know? So now we have a CIA contractor, and guess what, guys, even they'll tell you there's no such thing as former CIA, and two different FBI informants. Are you serious? I mean, I just can't even wrap my mind around that. That is absolutely incredible to me. But here they are telling you, and we're supposed to pretend like there wasn't some kind of organized effort going on there. But we'll just say it's just staggering. But also, in regard to manipulations and foreign policy and all the different things that we're sort of not paying attention to with all the aggressive COVID endgame stuff, Sarah Abdallah wants you to know, and I do want you to know as well, that today, as of the 20th, yesterday, marks 18 years since U.S. invaded and occupied Iraq on a pack of lies, killing over a million human beings and giving rise to ISIS. In fact, in my opinion, making that the case or planning that to be the case in regard to ISIS. But we know very clearly that they had a hand in from the very group that later became ISIS. So at the end of the day, from top to bottom, the U.S. government had its fingers in whatever that was from start to finish. But as she says, Bush, Cheney, Biden, and the rest of the perpetrators remain free. But Julian Assange, who exposed their war crimes, sits behind bars. Just to recognize what the values truly are of these people who claim to represent you, but very clearly do not. And they're currently in charge. And also, Tim Orr points out, 17 years ago, scientist David Kelly was found dead while walking his dog. He had given interviews destroying Tony Blair's claims of chemical weapons being held by Iraq. We know that they all lied about that. We actually know that today. This led to the Iraq War, which claimed 1 million Iraqi lives. And as, you know, the U.S. government so famously said, you know, it was worth it. 500,000 children, it was worth it. You can't take that comment back, and there's no missed context there. It is saying that we thought killing, or at least allowing, at the very least, which I don't think it's causing, killing 500 million children was worth what they did. That there's no way to misunderstand that. And this person, Madeleine Albright, is somebody involved with all sorts of human rights groups. This should make you sick. They're liars. And she also points out that March, this month, is the month of mass murder for the U.S. empire. March 24th, 1999, the bombing of Yugoslavia starts. March 20th, 2003, the illegal invasion of Iraq. March 15th, 2011, the illegal war on Syria begins. March 19th, 2011, the illegal invasion of Libya. March 26th, 2015, the ongoing illegal and just absolutely catastrophic genocide in Yemen is unleashed. All fighting for freedom, though, right? It's all about freedom and liberty. Well, in propaganda, we trust, as I put it, because that's the point. Based on all of these wars, it's always about freedom and liberty while we're destroying lives and stealing resources. Not me. I didn't do that. Your children didn't do that. The government did it, claiming they're doing good things for you. In propaganda, we trust. I say that. Why? I say this is a video that should make you laugh out loud. I mean, it's really ridiculous. It is a horrifyingly obvious and blatant ham-fisted propaganda effort where Biden is talking through his computer with some lady about what he's doing for her. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to waste the 2 minutes it takes to play this. You can watch it for yourself. And it's really flimsy and on its face propaganda. And the point is, they're basically going, oh, do you have this? Oh, you got kids? Well, guess what, Joe? We're going to give you, us Jocelyn, we're going to give you $400 more. Oh, you got a child? Oh, you get $25 a piece for that one. Like, okay, so we're parsing out money based on what you have and how much you deserve. Okay, so as I put it, I wonder how many takes this actually took, because I promise you Biden was not on his game, and who she was actually talking with, because I promise it wasn't actually Biden. Plus, are we supposed to feel proud, which is the whole point of this, that our government destroyed our lives based on lies and manipulations and now makes us prove that we deserve a fraction of that back? Shit warms the heart, doesn't it? That's the point, right? So they removed all of that. The only reason she's struggling in as much as the way that she is, I mean, whether she was struggling before or not, it's now wildly compounded exponentially because of what they did to this entire country. So now as they go, oh, you got this, you got that, you have four kids. Well, guess what? You get $400 a month. Well, does that make up for your destroyed business and the fact that you don't have a livelihood? Maybe in some people's case. By and large, they're making you prove you deserve what they stole from you. Just make sure you recognize that. And it's really disgusting. And I listen on a random side note, I just couldn't, I actually hadn't even reflected on this. Do you realize that he never debated Donald Trump? How is that even possible? And even weirder that Donald Trump didn't point that out? How is that even possible? This is an example of why I think all of this was cultivated, controlled, and at the very least manipulated at the end. You can argue maybe Trump thought he was going to do something and then they, you know, maybe had a JFK talk. Who ultimately knows? But we never saw the two presidents even get on the same stage and debate. Vice president, president. We never saw them actually debate what they believed in. We just said, oh, Democrat? Well, I'm Biden. Republican? Well, I'm Trump, which is all they hope for. They don't even need to prove who they are anymore. You just pick your side. How disgusting is that? Oh, of course, because COVID, right? Think about how, what that shows you. And again, why Trump never even dared to say anything about it. Well, COVID-19 vaccine ads, as I pointed out before, are expected in the next few weeks as part of a $250 million Biden administration campaign. So instead of giving $250 million to people that can't feed their families, we're going to spend that on propaganda to convince you to get something that you already said you don't want. Freedom! Good times! And we'll tax you even more for every bit of it. Well, this is what's happening. Except, it's ongoing everywhere. This is a really horrific number, too. The government spent more than 184 million pounds of taxpayer money on media advertising related to COVID in 2020. The UK government have gone from the 30th largest media spender in 2019 to the largest, from 30th to largest in 1 year. No wonder our media don't bite the hand that feeds them. That is incredible. They're spending your tax dollars to propagandize you about something that you don't want incessantly, not just once. They do it, they take the polls, they find out we still don't want it, and they spend more and do it again. Does that seem like informed consent? No, it seems like an aggressive coercion tactic to get you to do what they want. Freedom. Let's scream it at freedom. Scream it with me every time. Freedom. Facebook widens ban on COVID-19 vaccine misinformation to push in push to boost confidence. All right. So what do we classically say about information, right? When the answer to bad information is less information, right? No, obviously you should know that. The answer to bad speech is more speech, not less. But you see, this is what they want you to think until eventually it becomes only the government allowed narrative, which is already where we're getting, right? So reflect on that as they continue to crash in and take more. And even as before we get into the AstraZeneca discussion next, reflect on how they just screamed we were crazy fake news conspiracy theorists about something that literally just turned out to be what we said it was. Think about that as they continue to censor people. Now, I'm not saying that every person everywhere making wild claims is always correct, but I'm in no way suggesting anybody anywhere should be censored for stating what they think online. But that's what's happening only under the guise of such serious fear from COVID-19, except that's not even true. Their own data shows you that that's not true, but let's keep pretending that it's scary enough to justify anything else that happens. As it says, Facebook is expanding its ban on vaccine misinformation and highlighting official information about how and where to get COVID vaccines as governments race to get more people vaccinated. Right. So this is what's funny is they're constantly on one hand yelling about this narrative of how they're pushing it out fast as ever to do as much as they can, and then later going, oh, but there's infrastructure problems. So it's they want you to think that they're doing everything they can to get it to you, which they really desperately are, but they don't want you to recognize that you're not taking it. So it becomes infrastructure problems, despite them already stating that they had enough material or enough injections of experimental kind long before that. Then it says health officials and health authorities are in the early stages of trying to vaccinate the world against COVID-19. And guess what, guys? Experts agree. Which ones? Oh, just all of them, apparently, that rolling this out successfully is going to be helping build confidence in vaccines. Classic. Now, the point is, that's Facebook's head of health. I hope that's a text typo instead of how he said that. Just my personal opinion, but experts agree. Okay, so which ones, right? We know that there's all kinds of experts that very aggressively do not agree with this. So it's not the ones they like. So when they just broadly say experts agree, that is them insinuating that literally everybody agrees on this, and anyone that doesn't is hence not an expert. Just recognize how dishonest that is. Because this is really one of the most contentious issues that we've ever seen. We have, in my opinion, some of the most highly credentialed, highly experienced people are the ones standing on the side of, at least, we're concerned about this. I mean, even to go back to that, the GERT discussion, I'm very skeptical about everything that person is, but recognize he's also one that is saying that these vaccines are dangerous. That is what he's saying. He's not saying everyone everywhere, but mRNA ones are in fact dangerous. So how in the world can you argue experts agree? It's because they have a mandate, because NPR and the rest of them do what they're told, and they know what they're not allowed to say. Social media platforms, including Facebook, have played a big role in the spread of false claims, hoaxes, and conspiracy theories about the pandemic over the last year. All right, so whatever they disagree with, that's what falls into that category. In fact, plenty of things that we have shown you have turned out to be correct, but they don't follow up and go, except these weren't. That never happens. It's just a broad brush, whatever they want it to be. Exactly the thing that they say we're not allowed to do. Despite efforts by tech companies to clamp down on harmful content and promote authoritative sources. Right, because of course, authoritative sources are never wrong. Again, the insinuation, and that's not the case. In fact, they're wrong more than damn near anybody that I can see today. Now the company, why is that? Because all they're doing is mindlessly repeating what they're told by government sources, which is the literal opposite of what any actual journalist is supposed to do. Now the company is widening the list of banned claims to include posts falsely claiming, get this, the virus is man-made, which, by the way, there are all sorts of experts actually arguing that, and it's not decided yet. So the point is, again, that they've just taken the side of what the government has already said is the truth, despite that there are all sorts of people challenging that. But you see what I mean? That it's just what they've decided. Or manufactured, and that face masks don't prevent the spread of COVID. But because they don't, because that's a really stupid thing to say, because they've never, ever, ever, ever been used to stop the spread of a virus. That's just not what they're made for. But we've changed that and all of a sudden done whatever we want because government says. But the science also says what I say, that there is not a statistically significant reduction in transmission. Now, look, you can argue that you want to look at the one, model blowing into a box study you did a few weeks ago, and that says what you think it says, and that's the truth. That's fine. We can disagree. I'll point to the 14 random controlled trials that all come to the same conclusion. Call me a conspiracy theorist if you want. The point is that when you say that, you can't make out to be the fact if there's very clear disagreement among experts. See, but they're just trying to hammer in their narrative, because if all you have is a hammer, that's all they know. It's also banning false claims about vaccines in general that have been long in circulation despite being repeatedly debunked. Oh, what would that be? Well, let's see. The vaccines are toxic. Okay. Now, that's even one. The point is that are there some vaccines that are that were made incorrectly or even made possibly the way they are meant to, but hurt a lot of people? Yes. So to say that they're just not, or that they are, is not a fair thing to say. But you see, that's how they play this. Or dangerous or cause autism. Well, there's already been shown, and even the CDC itself has admitted that there was a link. That came out a while back and it got shut away. But let's pretend like that's fake news. If they are not effective. Oh, that they're not effective. Okay, so you mean the ones that are right now showing very real-world examples that they're not, such as the one that they even pulled back because it wasn't working? But let's pretend like that's just not allowable, right? We can't talk about that. You have vaccines either are all effective and safe or none of them are. You see how there's not even a possibility to come in with a real conversation and be like, well, what about this one over here? Nope, they're all safe and effective, even the one that just caused blood clots. And that is safer to get a disease than vaccine. So instead of getting natural immunity from something that has a smaller chance of hurting you than the vaccine, according to their own statistics, I'm crazy. Right? The point is that if you are, I mean, look, they're right now giving this to kids. Let's say you're 16 years old. Let's say you're 18 years old. Do you realize the chance of getting this, let alone dying from it, are ridiculously small? Now, the vaccine has been shown to be reasonably common. Maybe not very severe, but 4 days of flu symptoms and shivers and possibly blood clots and anaphylaxis and all kinds of thrombocytopenia and all these different things we've talked about. Yeah, let's just pretend like it's very clear and unequivocal and it's just not possible. But that's how they're framing this. And in the meantime, back to the point, Facebook is deleting all of it because they've already made up their mind. Well, I searched on YouTube. I just thought this was very telling. As the Last American Vagabond, first of all, it's also, we knew this would be the case as they deleted all the channels, that all of a sudden all the content is gone, which is very odd because all of the videos are still on their servers. So the point was they're penalizing, right? So if they just wanted to delete the videos that violated their standards and they delete the channel or remove it, the point is all the content is still there because I know it's there. You can see it, but they leave it there. So why? That's not really the point. The point is that when you search for me, all you get is the other ones, but take a look at which one came up first. Like, just to continue to hammer that nail in, the final nail into how obviously they game their search results. Like, how pathetic that they even try to pretend like that's not happening. Google, you can't even search for anything anymore. You want to search for something specific? I actually searched earlier, and I'll get to this conversation in a minute, about the AstraZeneca, one of the chief scientists. I simply asked a very clear question. Has the AstraZeneca team gotten their vaccinations? Now, you would think that's very specific. I even made it even more specific. But of course, every possible thing for the 35 pages is all about AstraZeneca and the recent discussions. I can go back a year from now, even though I say only a year from now, I get all the current stuff. It's because they have it gamed to where if you search for anything AstraZeneca related, you get what they want you to see about AstraZeneca. Google has broken itself for the oligarchy. The same with YouTube. YouTube has broken itself for the oligarchy. That's disgusting, but very telling. So when you search for the Last American Vagabond, are we to pretend that Biden mentioned my name? Are we to pretend that he said the word vagabond or anything related? No, not at all. It's just funny to me. In any case, they're clearly trying to jam in the vaccine skeptics. Like, that, there's a point because they've labeled the Last American Vagabond as vaccine anti-vaxxer. So they go after me with the kind of things they want you to see. But YouTube, in the same way, I just want you to see what we said to them as they've responded in regard to me pointing out that I was censored. And they said, sorry to hear about the trouble. Have you tried submitting an appeal? If you haven't yet, fill out this form and our team will take a look at the channel. Oh, thank you. You're so kind. Well, this is actually what I said to them because it's a joke that they would even act like that. Just in case you want to laugh at and or call out them, Tube. Have you tried submitting an appeal? How exactly do I appeal what I don't know, YouTube? You never gave a reason, but you knew that already. Would you like to appeal your coordinated deplatforming? Yeah, sure. Like, it's just so stupid how they played the game. We know it's just bots. And they followed up by saying, well, thanks for that response too. Note that our team can't review your case unless you've submitted an appeal for our channel suspension, even though it's actually deleted. So see, this is a public face to make it look like there's accountability and there's not. We recommend reading the email we've sent with the links we've shared for more information. And it's just the same thing. As I said, you mean the boilerplate nonsense that read right off of a back of a manual that had nothing to do with me personally? Yeah, I read it. We all read it. The point is, there's no way to appeal what I don't know. You never told me what the violation was, so how can I appeal what I don't know? This childish game you play with your users is pathetic. But this is YouTube. They don't care about you. And also, here is the Patreon discussion. You can just take note, as they finally followed up with links, as I aggressively asked for every single thing that was a violation so I could remove it for you, even though I was never going to do that. And of course, they just go, well, we can't do that. Here's another example of a few things, all of which are from your website, not even Patreon. But let's pretend like that makes sense. But of course, the point is, Vesper just proved it to us. They have no intention of actually giving something back. I don't want it back, to be honest, to be clear. I don't want Patreon back. Screw Patreon. Screw YouTube. The point is that they are saying you have this huge catalog of information and there's all sorts of things that are violations. Now go through and guess for us and come back. And if you guessed incorrectly, we'll tell you to keep guessing. Like, think about how crazy stupid that is. So I go back and I even pretend and I say, I'll delete whatever you want. Just give me a list and I'll go through and delete them. And they go, well, while we always specific with creators about which guidelines need attention, the goal of our interaction is not to tell you what to do and send you every piece of content. Why? Because they're trying to teach me a lesson. We operate this way for a good reason. We want to make sure you understand the issue and give you the autonomy to review the idea. This is so pathetic. Like, thanks, teacher. Thanks, mom. If they actually cared about deleting content and getting or abiding by their own guidelines, they would simply point them out and allow you to correct the measure. They don't. They want it to be a guessing game because they like the power and they want me to never be able to go back unless I literally delete everything COVID-related in hopes that they may get my channel back. But as another interesting point is made, Facebook just asked this individual with a survey three questions, only about TLAV. And it was, and he says, no idea if it was automatically, but it was even translated in Turkish. They asked three questions. Do you remember having seen a page called The Last American Vagabond? This is Facebook. Do you ever enter Facebook just to watch TLAV videos? Would you still enter Facebook just to watch their videos? Think about that. I'm not very familiar with this account. So it's not like this is a person I work with or anything. And they're just randomly asking people, have you watched this channel? Do you still watch that channel? Like, what in the world, guys? If we thought that they weren't targeting people like me, just pay attention. It is so plain and it has nothing to do with breaking rules or anything. Because I am going out of my way to do it the way that the mainstream media is supposed to be doing it. Now, sure, I can be hyperbolic and I can make comments and jokes and whatever else, but at the end of the day, you know what I do. And I stick to the material and I make sure you know when it's my opinion. Just crazy to me. But this was in regard to a comment, this is actually the tweet, I believe, where MF Doom shared this about AstraZeneca, which brings us into the AstraZeneca discussion. And this is my tweet, actually. Did I have it next? But you can see my tweet because I'm the one saying this. And I tweeted an image of AstraZeneca. He tried to share it. And this is, they said the following media may contain sensitive material. It's not available because it includes content you've chosen not to see. Do you know what it was? This. That's all it was. A headline with text. With text. That is, of course, saying something that they don't want us to see about AstraZeneca. The SEC claims AstraZeneca set up bank accounts in doctors' names, hired a collusive travel vendor who submitted fake or inflated invoices to generate cash to funnel money, and totally fabricated conferences to pay out speaker fees despite there being no meeting date, venue, nor a subject. That's AstraZeneca. You know, the group that they're defending right now aggressively, except they're right here showing you how blatantly dishonest they are. And Twitter goes, oh, can't see that. It might be violence, which is what that's supposed to be. Hoping people simply don't click on it. Why in the world? Oh, I'm sure it was just an algorithmic glitch, right? In the middle of the AstraZeneca scandal. I'm sure that's what it was. It's just so obvious, guys. They do not want you seeing what's going on. And as I pointed out with the article, Finland suspends the use of AstraZeneca injection after two new cases of rare blood clots. This was on the 19th. And as I said, gee, there sure are a lot of fake news, anti-science, conspiracy theorist governments out there. How dare they all independently decide to act in the interest of their people's safety based on their own respective research? The horrid anti-vaxxers, right? I mean, how stupid is that? These groups are, and this is what I want people to understand. This is not 20 countries sitting around a table deciding they're going to do this. This is independent. These are the respective regulatory agencies of 20 plus different countries independently reviewing their own information, not the same grouping of information, their own personal experience in their countries, and 20 plus of them independently deciding there's danger enough to suspend it. Even though now we're seeing what 12 plus, I mean, probably most all of them go back to using it again. It just shows you how incredible this is, especially when we're now finding out. Or actually, excuse me, I want to say show you this first before I get to the next part. This just shows you that we've been covering this story. And this is another kind of microcosm of that bigger discussion. Georgian nurse was in a coma after receiving AstraZeneca vaccine, right? In Tbilisi. We covered this. 27-year-old nurse fell into a coma March 18th, just minutes after receiving the vaccine from AstraZeneca. Now, when we covered this, remember the pushback, just like every other one. Well, you don't know what happened. It's not definitive. That's fake news because her family said that. Okay. Well, now we know that she died. The nurse's condition is critical, and she's been transferred to the ICU and in Tbilisi, where she was put on artificial respiration, which I'm sure didn't help at all. Before the vaccination, the woman gave an interview to local media where she urged the public to get vaccinated. You remember that? We talked about this. Well, she died. At Georgia limits AstraZeneca shots after nurse dies of anaphylactic shock. Georgia's health ministry said after the death of the 27-year-old nurse, the coronavirus vaccinations with the AstraZeneca shot would continue only in full-fledged medical centers. So we're not stopping it. We're going to keep using it, though, even though we are very concerned. The interior minister also said it had opened an investigation after the nurse, who had the AstraZeneca vaccine and suffered an anaphylactic shock, died on Friday. But we're going to keep using the vaccine because that's the opposite. I mean, realize that this is literally the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. In any case, in anything in the past, if they're actually being smart about safety, when you have something like this happen, you go, okay, wait a minute. This might have caused it. So in the interest of safety, we put it on pause and we investigate. Their only argument is that COVID is just so dangerous that we have to weigh the risks. That's just not true. How long are we going to allow them to continue to state that obviously verifiable, incorrect statement? The numbers do not support that. I'm just baffled that we can keep having this argument. Not you and I, obviously, but people in the world. But she dies. And of course, the point was that they continue the rollout of the shot. But Norwegian experts now say, more than just Norwegian experts, by the way, but in this case, Norwegian experts say that the blood clot side effects were caused, for sure, by the AstraZeneca vaccine. And I want to point out before I even read the article, just note, and this, look, even if this country is wrong, realize this entire country has decided that they know that they're, because their experts are telling them that this did cause it. Now, by the way, this has already been admitted by even our government, but recognize how crazy it is that they're censoring me. People like Whitney Webb, they're not taking back that censorship. And her censorship was specifically about that AstraZeneca discussion. And there's Patreon censor. They're censoring all over the place. And as I said, note that I was just censored by YouTube for being willing to objectively report on this topic. Censored for considering, not stating, but considering what Norway just concluded was the case. YouTube is medical misinformation, guys. I mean, this is literally what it is if they're going to censor people that are willing to entertain or discuss things that are relevant in the very moment. Here you go. Norwegian experts say the deadly blood clots were caused by AstraZeneca vaccine. Quote, our theory that this is a powerful immune response most likely triggered by the vaccine has been confirmed, says professor and chief physician Paul Andre Holm. Three Norwegian health workers under the age of 50 have been hospitalized. One is dead. Now recognize this as they continue to try to downplay this. Remember what they keep saying? Oh, well, it's about the natural amount of blood clots that have been happening in the new, what would be expected in the population. Well, how about we start recognizing that's not even true anymore? And yet they still act like, well, it's such a small percentage. Is it though? I mean, think about how many people have been vaccinated with this. It's not as many as the rest. And the point is that we've seen quite a bit. I think we need to recognize that statistically speaking, that is not what they're making it out to be. Quote, our theory that this is a powerful immune response, which most likely was caused by the vaccination, has been found. Very definitive. It's quite a bit different than what we're hearing or what we have been hearing. And that's really the main point for me. Is that they were willing to censor people. They were willing to disparage, laugh, disregard everything they possibly could to anybody who even considered the possibility that this was the case up until it was proved it was the case. And then they continued doing the exact same thing in every other topic. Censoring, disparaging, downplaying, everything. Only because some of us allow it. Our theory is that this is a powerful immune response, which most likely was caused by the vaccine, has been found. In collaboration with experts in the field from the University Hospital of North Norway, we have found specific antibodies against blood platelets that can cause these reactions, and which we know from other fields of medicine, but then with medical drugs as the cause of the reaction. Now, it's very interesting to me with the antibodies discussion. This is what these vaccines are all about, right? I mean, this is really interesting because more so when you get to the end of the discussion today, that I very clearly think that this is caused by, I mean, that's what they're saying. I mean, this is the vaccine is causing this reaction in your body, but it's more than just some kind of sporadic random thing. I think this is connected back to any one of these different discussions we've had. Antibody dependent enhancement, pathogenic priming, molecular mimicry. These are things that are very real concerns with all of these that your governments are just completely overlooking. Nothing but the vaccine can explain why. Then asked to clarify why he says most likely in the quote, Holm confidently responds that the reason for these rare cases of blood clots has been found. Quote, we have the reason. Nothing but the vaccine can explain why these individuals had the immune response. Just so we very clear how, but here's the Wall Street Journal. Scientists say they found cause of rare blood clotting linked to AstraZeneca vaccine. German and Norwegian researchers say rare autoimmune reaction is behind several blood clots, cases of brain blood clotting. Now, remember, thinking back to all the other ones we saw, right? The strokes and the swell, there's a lot of different examples like this we saw in the beginning that were just very quickly put to bed and dismissed. I'm sure they're going to go right back and research those, right? Obviously not. And I'm going to get to that discussion about how they're actually not researching any of these, it seems. That's exactly what I've been telling you, but was just more in research in that regard. Scientists in Europe said that they had identified a mechanism that could lead the AstraZeneca PLC vaccine to cause potentially deadly blood clots in rare instances, as well as a possible treatment for it. Okay, so here's the way they're trying to keep this going. Oh, it's only very rare. Okay, but you were just aggressively screaming that it wasn't even possible and it's not what's happening. And now it is, but it's rare though. Right? Can we just put to bed the obvious propaganda push and just acknowledge the information? Of course not. Not from propaganda outlets. That's what their job is, to gaslight you with what they want you to think for the government. But the reality is that there doesn't seem to be as rare as they want you to believe. But on the idea that, oh, well, there's a possible treatment for it. Possible means uncertain. And a treatment for a vaccine that's supposed to be treating something is absurd. You're talking about, this is the same idea with the pharmaceuticals they give you. They pump you full of all these oil-based pharmaceutical poisons, in my opinion, and it causes all sorts of side effects and maybe helps with the thing you're trying to deal with. And then they just prescribe more drugs for the side effects, which then cause more side effects. It's an ongoing process. You've seen those images from people that have cancer or whatever else where they got a table full of drugs. It's obscene. But sure, let's let them treat you for something that should be treating you. God, it's just sickening. Two teams of medical researchers in Norway and Germany have independently found that there. I just read that, actually. Several European countries briefly halted their rollouts of vaccines this week after more than 30 recipients were diagnosed with the condition known as cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, or CVST. Man, remember, this is what I read for you in that discussion, despite all the mainstream media simply calling them blood clots. Most of the people affected were women under the age of 55. The issue affected a tiny portion of people, tiny, they say, those who had received the shot. However, and after investigating, the European drug regulator ruled, because we can trust them, right? They're the ones that said we shouldn't stop in the first place, ruled that the benefits outweighed the potential risks. Of course, right? And realized they said that before they knew this. Right? So before they knew what the potential risks were, they were going, but it outweighs the potential risk that we don't know yet. So let's just trust them again now. Makes sense. And recommended vaccinations resume. Of course they did. Keep using it, though. We were telling you to use it. We didn't know. Why would we tell you to stop once we do know? Some countries, such as Germany, France, Italy, resumed vaccinations. Germany, of all places. This is a German scientist that's telling you this is dangerous, and Germany goes right back to it. And Italy resumed vaccinations with AstraZeneca shot on Friday. Because why would we care about dangerous things when we know that this COVID-19 is so actually not incredibly dangerous? But who cares? Just do it anyway at all costs. Now, this is an interesting addition to this. I don't know how there is follow up from Alex Berniston on what happened to this guy. I'll show you this first. Dr. Jose Beslaga, the chief scientist at AstraZeneca, has died unexpectedly at 61. No cause of death has yet been reported, which I find very interesting. But he follows up and says, update, which is very weird to me. This is from Tech Review reports, Dr. Beslaga died of CJD, an aggressive brain disease closely related to mad cow. which apparently just comes up on you in one day and kills you. Or, you know, just, I mean, I'm not trying, I don't know much about the background here. I just found that to be a very, very odd. I did do some research into this today, but it doesn't seem like there's much to go on other than the statements of these people that are very carefully cold, which they do with all this stuff. My point, as I said, was as much as this will be dismissed as disrespectful and fake news, I would just simply like to know if he had been vaccinated. There's no reason this should be regarded as an unreasonable question with all that's going on. While we literally have people actually dying that they just confirmed from the AstraZeneca vaccine, right? Recognize that it's not so we have people who died from this. They died after getting the vaccine, and that has now been confirmed that it has the possibility of creating these kind of responses, even though we already knew that because we've been telling you that from the very beginning. So the point is, as we have the reason to question, I think we should be willing to ask, is this possible? Did he get the vaccine or not? But I argue that won't ever even be revealed because they'll be afraid if it did. And even if it did, they'll go, well, that's not what happened. So we'll hide it because they're going to use it for vaccine hesitancy, as they always do. But as it says, very well-known oncologist who stepped down from Memorial Sloan Kettering after failing. That's interesting. I was just reading Memorial Sloan Kettering, who was taught a group, a woman from there, a researcher from there, was arguing that the mRNA in general had potential to unlock cancer cells or something, some regard like that. I'm going to look more into it, but it's interesting. The name just kind of struck me just now. Memorial Sloan Kettering, after failing to disclose corporate conflict of interest, died of whatever that weird thing we just discussed. It's weirdly wrote right there. A wicked brain disease caused by prions. Ooh, interesting. Prions disease. We were just talking about this. I'm still looking into more on that, but that's something else people are arguing has a connection to the vaccine. Prions also cause mad cow sheep scrappy, CWD in deer. Very strange. Like, so this guy has like mad cow similar disease and it just like happens all of a sudden and no one knows about it. It just seems very odd to me. But it's interesting that I would like to know whether this was, at the very least, whether he was vaccinated, because that's something we are allowed to ask. Just knowing that, but I'm sure we'll keep looking into it for you. But one comment I wanted to argue from this or say state from this article about him, it says faced with COVID challenge, the expert, he was optimistic about vaccination, but regretted that it was never going to return to normality that existed before the beginning of the pandemic. Although he defended that next summer, there could be a relative normal life. Right. So this is one of the chief scientists of the AstraZeneca vaccine who was upset. Like, life was never going to go back to normal. You realize how silly it is that these people very clearly know what the media is pretending that they don't know? Even though they're quietly telling you, and when a lot of people don't want to hear it, you're not going back to normal, guys. They've already set your future regardless of what you want. That should be very clear by now. As they begin to test on pregnant women with the experimental injection, right? The one that the NIH still calls experimental. What do you know about that? Right? I mean, just so just so we're clear here, this is on the January. Oh, that's the wrong one. Of course I did that. Well, in any case, here, I'll go do both. Shoot, I keep losing the page. Where are we here? There we go. Let me grab the other one too, since I'm grabbing them, of course. Of course, I should have grabbed this before, I know. Here we go. January 12th. So how is it that we can be staring at, as of January 12th, the NIH calling them, well, then this is technically the Moderna vaccine. And remember, these are both mRNA vaccines that are both being used in the same process with both have emergency use authorization. They're calling it an experimental coronavirus vaccine. This is the Moderna one. You can look at mRNA 1273. That's the same one. As of January, right? We were arguing in December that these weren't experimental. And the NIH is saying it in January. They also said it in July was the point, right? This is experimental coronavirus. Okay, so how is it that we're allowed to use an experimental vaccine on pregnant women that was never even, it's experimental regardless, but then on top of that, it was never even tested on pregnant women. And they're already beginning to use, I mean, this is sickening to me. And this is why other people find it sickening too, including the professor, is the professor Uran Dolev. He's the chairman of the Israel Medical Association's Ethical Board. I was looking for that right there. I was floored when I saw this. This is one of those moments where you need to see that the media across the board, from the fake left side and from the fake right side and from what other fake side they have, they are ignoring stuff like this. The chairman of the ethics board resigned because they were testing on pregnant women. So get this. He stands up and he says, and you can read this article for yourself. It's from Derek Bros from the 19th. He says, we shouldn't be testing on pregnant women because it's experimental and we're still testing this thing for safety. They go, no, we're going to do it anyway. Then he goes, okay, and this is all on record, by the way. Then he follows up and goes, okay, fine. If you're going to do this anyway, against my recommendation, we need to have them sign informed consent forms. They said no. Because it's all about safety, right? Why in the world? Well, because they're afraid the form will scare people away. So they are willing to ignore your rights for their agenda, just like every other time we look at this. And this is if the ethics chairman quits because they're not doing what they should, what does that tell you? I mean, this is a no-brainer, guys. And here's the image from Pfizer where it says, limited data on the safety of pregnancy during pregnancy because it was not studied among pregnant people. So how in the world is this still being used and still being, and people are pretending like the safety testing is done when the literal ethics chairman can quit because they're doing something that our country is pretending is totally normal. This is the same Pfizer vaccine, guys. And as I said, the chairman of the Israel Medical Association's ethical board can resign due to unjust testing on pregnant women and the refusal to even have them sign informed consent forms. But I'm still a conspiracy theorist for saying the same thing. I mean, it's actually getting that absurd, right? I mean, if you are watching this right now and you think what I just said is ridiculous, that is a clear choice. Is the chairman of the ethics committee a wild anti-science fringe conspiracy theorist? I mean, this is a guy who has the right to be there and is protesting. He's quitting his entire career out of protest for how alarming this is. You can only ignore so much for your vaccine agenda, guys. And that's not to argue from an anti-vax position, as I've argued from the longest time, that it's about the intent behind what's being made. If what we know about vaccine technology is correct, and that's a big if, because we're trusting people that I don't trust, but if it's correct, it's the intent. Can you make a vaccine that can help people? If that stuff is correct, then I would argue yes. But the intent behind what they're making today is obviously not about our safety. So the point that I can argue that, and based off the very person who's actually concerned about the ethics, and I can still be called crazy, it shows you what a lost situation we're in right now. But I do not. I reiterate, I do not think that we are the minority. I know that's hard to believe, but people out there are just, I mean, look, you realize how few, at the end of the day, people are involved like we are in what's going on and constantly reading the news and checking everything out. People just want to live their lives. They don't want to know what's going on. They just put the mask on because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with you and they don't want to deal with Karen. They don't want to deal with either side, right? They just want to go about their day. And the point is, that's a huge portion and they know that. The reality is, I think most of us recognize this is wrong. And as TJCT points out, this actually made me laugh out loud in a really sickening way. He said they don't even let pregnant women take aspirin. This is insane. He's responding to that article. And I agree with that. And thank you for pointing that out. Because just to make an excellent point, it's not even a joke. It says generally aspirin isn't recommended during pregnancy unless you have a certain medical condition. So they're willing to let you take an experimental, genetically modified injection that's never been successfully completed until now, that is not even approved, that is still being safety tested. But you can't take aspirin unless you've got medical conditions. That is insane. Here's another one. Can you take aspirin if you're pregnant? It depends. Experts caution against taking adult aspirin during pregnancy because studies have linked it to the various complications. Okay, so what about all the studies that have very clearly argued about the concerns of mRNA, of polyethylene glycol, of pathogenic priming or antibody-dependent enhancement? None of those studies seem to matter because they don't care. because we're not talking about aspirin here. We're talking about a multi-billion, potentially trillion-dollar industry that is clearly trying to change the world in a very alarming way that most Americans don't want. You know, converging technologies and all, you know, revolution, altering our evolution with nanotechnology, as they put it. Well, some people in some places very clearly recognize this is not okay. This, what they're doing is in fact beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean, literally right out of the documentation from the Nuremberg Code, this is a crime. And an Israeli group claims that the government is in fact guilty of violating that Nuremberg Code. Crimes against humanity, specifically in their vaccination campaign, which, by the way, is very telling because the U.S. government is doing damn near the exact same thing. Locke firm confirms to all Israeli news, lawsuit against the state of Israel was filed at the International Criminal Court in The Hague this month. Now, doesn't mean it's going to go anywhere, but it means that it is legitimate. This is an official law firm that has officially filed the paperwork with The Hague International Criminal Court. So if they find that there's grounds to move forward, they'll move forward. And that could be a huge deal. But of course, Israel will do what it always does, just like it does with the ICC, and act like they're anti-Semitic and that they're not, you know, it's not about anything other than racism or whatever else, as they're literally committing crimes, at least in regard to foreign policy. And the UN all sees, well, they're all anti-Semitic, but, you know, that's it. But they will also use UN mandates when we don't like a group. While we ignore the mandates against us, right? Good old-fashioned liberty and freedom, right? But it says, International Criminal Court in The Hague is considering whether to open an investigation into the Israeli government for crimes against humanity and violations of the Nuremberg Code. A lawsuit, which you can find the link in this article, filed by a Tel Aviv law firm on behalf of Ashi Et Emet, People of Truth, describes Israel's warp speed vaccination, find that very telling because it's the same one we're doing, same program, Warp Speed, as a medical experiment. That's literally what it is. I mean, again, do we really need to go back and see the NIH literally calling it experimental? Again, that's same technology we're talking about. But as it says, and it's calling on the court to demand an immediate stop to the vaccination campaign, a repeal of sanctions against those who do not take the vaccine, and a cancellation of Israel's government agreement with Pfizer. That's a huge point. The lawsuit will be translated into German and filed in the Nuremberg Code as well. I'm sure to the groan of all the Israeli government. I mean, this is obviously something they're not happy about. And here's the actual documentation that you can read through for yourself. This will be included as well in the PDF. But Israel moves to head of vaccine queue. This is as of January 28th, offering Pfizer access to country's healthcare database. This is what their people are unhappy about. Of course, on top of experimenting with their bodies, you know, but this is a huge part of it. And this is what seems to be driving that aggressive experimentation. The fact that Israel basically, you could argue, pretty much, I mean, it's not, I couldn't call it a bribe seeing as how they're buying something, but offered to pay more for these to get ahead of everybody else, as well as the fact that it allowed Pfizer basically unfettered access to your information if you're an Israeli citizen, based on a vaccine and everything else. That is why we said Israel's the biggest experiment, and that's what they called it themselves. Pfizer said it's one big experiment in Israel, right? But not experiment, though. It's not an experimental vaccine. Israel's fast-moving vaccination program, which has already reached a third of the population, is built on a bargain. The vaccine maker agreed to keep up the quick time delivery of doses in exchange for partial access to the vast database of information maintained by the country's national healthcare system. Now, that's how Washington Post frames it, but partial access to the data, that's not how it's being framed from my understanding from the lawsuit and what they believe is being done in regard to how it's being used in their personal information. But regardless, it's still a deal based on your information that Israel's government has no right to hand away. Or at least they pretend they don't, because we know that they're not the only democracy in the Middle East. They're one of them. No, I don't even know. They're not a democracy. Let's put it that way. But another thing that stands out to me with this, what does this seem to challenge? Right? What does this seem to undermine? Here they are screaming about how, oh, the infrastructure, right? We're behind on the vaccines because we got ahead of ourselves and we don't have enough doses and blah, blah, blah. Well, sure seems like Pfizer is quick to the delivery when Israel pays them more. So, gee, I wonder where they're grabbing that extra dose on the dime when Israel pays money if they just don't have any. It's almost like they're making that up. It's almost like they have plenty of vaccine they've been building for an entire year that they just don't want you to know is sitting there because you don't want it. You know, just my opinion. But seems odd that they're pumping this stuff out left and right for Israel, but, you know, whatever. But it says... Oh, I think I did. I read the last part. The vaccine maker agreed to keep up the QuickTime delivery. Yes, for your information. But some privacy advocates are complaining that Israelis are being used as guinea pigs, which, by the way, is exactly what Pfizer called them. Not the exact word, but, you know, that they're testing on them without their permission after learning that Pfizer, maker of the vaccine that Israel has injected into the arms of about one third of its 9 million people, got access to health data as a condition of the deal. Former Deputy Attorney General cautioned in an op-ed for the newspaper Haaretz that, quote, it is doubtful that either the state or the HMOs have any authority at all to transfer the details of the vaccination recipient to any foreign body, even in the case of a pandemic. But guess what? They're doing it anyway. Shocker, right? He's just simply saying that they don't have the authority. They're doing it anyway because it's about their own benefit. At your expense, as always. Pfizer has privately committed to shipping about 10 million doses to Israel by the end of March, according to the Israeli media accounts. Pfizer did not respond to request for comment, of course, with their contract in Israel, right? Because, of course, this group that's clearly having an influence over policy in regard to Israel or the United States. Why would we need to know their personal ins and outs, right? It's not like they're controlling your lives or anything, right? Pfizer doesn't respond to comment. Gee. It's almost like they're unaccountable, right? A group that has this much influence over your life very much should be accountable, but they're not. You can't even charge them with a crime if they hurt you with that vaccine or if it, any number of things goes wrong, if they just make it wrong. Unless it's a conscious choice to hurt you, which is impossible to prove in the way they're doing this, then you won't be able to charge anybody. Even if they literally make a mistake, if they just make it wrong or let it go bad or any number of things, it's still nothing you can do about it. And that is coming from the group that has been caught committing crimes more times than you'd like to know, I would imagine. I already told you this one. This is from May 2010. Tough on crime? Well, guess what? Pfizer has been a habitual offender, persistently engaging in illegal and corrupt marketing practices, bribing physicians, and suppressing adverse trial results. Let me repeat that last part again. Suppressing adverse trial results. But yeah, they wouldn't do that today. Of course not. They learned their lesson and now they're good moral liberty and freedom people. Since 2002, the company and its subsidiaries have been assessed $3 billion in criminal convictions, civil penalties, and jury awards. Illegal and corrupt marketing practices, bribing doctors, and suppressing negative results from their drugs. You know, like blood clots and, you know, allergic reactions and sudden death and strokes, but they've never suppressed them before. Oh yeah, they did actually. So, but they would never do it again. It's just patently stupid that we're pretending like we can't call these people out for what they have done. But here's what you should be tracking in general. And also take note of how little has happened. Like, so this is the one I keep showing you, the violation tracker from Pfizer. And it's only since 2000. I just love we only started tracking since 2000, so we don't know what they did before that, but 71 records, that's 71 criminal actions, $4,660 million paid out. Four crimes, right? Offense groups, healthcare-related offenses, $3.3 billion, 10 different records. Government contracting-related offenses, $1.1 billion, 19. Safety, $100 million. Now, these are much worse, in my opinion. Off-label or unapproved promotion of medical products. Now, that's actually the same as the healthcare-related. Same number. Off-label or unapproved promotion. So they're promoting things they're not allowed to promote. You know, such as an experimental vaccine for people that shouldn't be taking it. Yeah, they've done that before. False Claims Act. Right? So such as saying, well, this can make you immune. This can do this. It can stop symptoms. It can make you all better. Well, they've done that before too. In fact, 19 times. Well, this is the most important, in my opinion, drug or medical equipment safety violations. $100 million. They've had five different examples of literally specific drug safety violations. Actually, I would say probably this one's more important. The fact that they 10 times for a total of $3.3 billion have approved medical products or promoted unapproved products they shouldn't be promoting. Safety, I mean, this is a criminal outfit, guys, a group that can be called out as literally a habitual offender, meaning that it's a habit, it's constant, persistently engaging in illegal, corrupt marketing, illegal and corrupt marketing. How is it possible that this is the group that our entire, according to our government, our entire safety depends on this vaccine because it's the worst pandemic ever? None of that's true. But what does this show you, right? If you're allowed to look at people's, who people surround themselves with, what does this show you about your government? The U.S. company, Moderna, Pfizer, these are the groups working with them, and both of them have been cut. I mean, well, specifically more Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, as Moderna is this quiet runner that's never been a product before until suddenly they've made successfully the thing they've never done before with an mRNA vaccine. Criminals. Anybody else would be in prison. As I said, can you imagine what it would be like if you, as an individual, had been caught faking important information for your business and bribe doctors to hide it? You would likely never get hired again. But if you're a vaccine company in the government's pocket, well, no worries. Just keep doing your criminal stuff and the government got your back. And of course, this is what we're told to be like, okay, this is how we should be acting, right? With all the stuff that we just showed you. I mean, look, this alone is enough justification to be like, I don't think I trust what Pfizer made, right? More than enough. Well, here's how you're supposed to act, according to the government.
I'm not asking what's in the infusion.
The infusion. I don't know why she's calling it infusion. I'm not asking what's in it.
I'm not looking up all of the ingredients.
I'm not looking up the ingredients. They'll laugh.
I'm sticking out my arm. And I am taking the infusion.
So I'm not going to ask what it is. I'm not going to research it. I'm not going to look up the information. I'm just going to say, thank you, government. Tell me, give me what you think is best. This is being celebrated, as Charlie Robinson points out. She's proud of her ignorance. This is Orwellian as I've never seen it. This should be their new Pledge of Allegiance, he says. I mean, what's the impetus for this? What does she actually think this? Why does she feel this is a positive thing to promote? To blind trust for authority? I mean, they don't even say that that's what we should be doing. Like, they argue it's about free and a conversation and open engagement. I mean, they don't believe that. But this is the point. This is what they want from us. They want us to be, well, we should just do what they say because we're good citizens. Like, that's what she's saying. Don't research, don't think, just do what they tell you. As New York Times, oh, critical thinking is bad. As Forbes said, you, what was it? There was, don't do your own research, right? I think that was reversed. But in any case, you had the mainstream media telling you critical thinking is bad. Don't do your own research. And she's saying, just stick your arm out and take what they give you because that makes you a good citizen. Take a look at this. 200,000 views. The dim age indeed. Wow. That is just unbelievable, guys. Like, that's actually scary to me. The fact that for all I know, she doesn't believe what she's saying. But in any case, I do think there are some that believe that. Well, here is why that continues to happen. And this is not just Australia, just a good example from a recent discussion. This was Okay, well, I'm not going to take the time to find it right now. There was another one that was from 2020. In discussion, it's okay. I'm not going to get deviated from the point. But in any case, this is ongoing. You can look this up everywhere you want. Right now, the leading funder of mainstream media is Big Pharma, right? So let's pretend like they have no influence over what they're doing. But as this article points out, and there are current examples right up until right now, pharmaceutical industry donates millions to both Australian political parties. The point isn't a broad point. This is why this continues, because we have companies that are currently so primary in what's going on with the government that they're influencing policy, in fact, making policy, and that they're donating to these political groups that shows an obvious conflict of interest. They're controlling your, they might as well be the government. This is the fusion, just like we saw between in regard to corporate, the industry and the government. Now we're seeing it in regard to the science and the medical side of it. This is, excuse me, this is fascism. That's what this is. It should be private industry and it should be government, but now they're blending that thing. Public-private partnerships. How long have we been talking about that? This is exactly what Israel's been doing for decades. And as Doom points out, tell me how we're the minority when it comes to lockdowns and masks. Look at how many people are here. Now, you know what's embarrassing about this? Even the mainstream media had to pretend that this was only a couple hundred people. Like, think about how desperate you must be if you have to pretend that the crowds aren't really what they are. Right? I mean, look, I don't care if this was 500,000 people. If you disagree, you could say, well, that's only one protest. Everyone else in the world agrees masks are good or whatever. Whatever the mainstream media wants to lie about. But the point is, they just can't even give you that. Because you can go around and look, there's videos of this goes as long as the eye can see. Hundreds of thousands of people, easy. And every outlet I can see was like, hundreds of people storm this. And it's just how, look, as they collectively scream and make fun of Trump for arguing about his crowd size, they literally do the same thing. These people have no shame. Like, they are exactly what they make fun of. It's pathetic. But the point is, there is a unbelievably large that people are on your side, guys. They do not agree with what's happening. And it's just time to show them that they're not the minority. Get together, make your own chart, your own march, and march in the streets, make some signs, get out there and stand for what you believe in. It's time to continue to show people that this is not what we could, we're in a bad way, but we can turn it around. And as Derek points out, in regard to those protests, this was on the 20th, are today's global protests against COVID lockdowns proving that we are not the minority? We are not exclusively left or right wing. We are people united by the desire to live free from the restraints of the colonizing technocratic state. I agree completely. This is something, as you all know, I've been saying for a long time. The idea that we're the majority and we don't realize it. I'm glad that more people are picking up on this. And I'm glad that this is something that we can stand behind. Because it's a powerful thing to realize. As I said, yes, if we can only recognize that we are the manipulated majority, manipulated to think that we are the fringe minority, we can change everything. Most Americans actually see there's an inherent level of dishonesty around all of this. That's in my experience anyway. Hashtag false minority. Interesting spin, right? I really believe that. I could be wrong, but I feel it. Now, on that note, a really big development in regard to the mRNA discussion from the 16th, from the Defender. Data leaks show regulators had major concerns about Pfizer's mRNA vaccine. Leaked documents show that some early commercial batches of Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine had lower than expected levels of intact mRNA, prompting wider questions about how to assess this novel vaccine platform. I mean, this is one of those examples of mainstream just completely ignoring a very relevant discussion because it will cause vaccine hesitancy. No matter how real it is, it doesn't matter. It's just, it blows my mind. And this is a big deal. EMA scientists tasked with ensuring manufacturing quality, right? So the very people we're talking about, the quality and the safety with Pfizer, I mean, it's all across the board. The government is just as invested with the lies of what they want you to take as much as these companies. Tasked with ensuring manufacturing quality, the chemistry, manufacturing, and control aspects of Pfizer's submission to the EMA, worried about, quote, truncated and modified mRNA species present in the finished product. Among the many files leaked to the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, an email dated November 23rd by a high-ranking EMA official outlined a raft of issues. In short, commercial manufacturing was not producing vaccines to the specifications expected. And regulators were unsure of the implications. But it's safe and effective, though. EMA responded by filing two, quote, major objections with Pfizer, along with a host of other questions it wanted addressed. The email identified, quote, a significant difference in percentage RNA integrity truncated species between the clinical batches and proposed commercial batches. Well, what do you know? So the ones they tested versus the one they're actually putting in your arm. Who would have guessed? Sort of like when they did that in regard to the swine flu in 76, where I've shown you 100 times, where they sold people on one, switched it at the last moment, and gave you the one that caused narcolepsy and everything else based on zero confirmed cases. But they'll never do that again, despite the WHO and the HHS and multiple groups calling out the CDC for flu and all these sort of things, right up until it all got quiet and everyone went the same direction. And nothing changed, by the way. So they all call out the big scam that is this whole big biosecurity. You know, they're all calling it out, manipulating flu numbers to make it look more severe, piping up pandemics because of flu experts that wanted to promote. This is the WHO saying this back in 2011. HHS called the CDC out, and I think a couple years later. What happened? Nothing. What happened was those people got pushed aside. New people came in, and they marched forward. That's what happened. So in this case, again, they tested one, and another one was used. So it went from whatever they claimed, and it says from around 78 to 55%. Quite a big difference. The root cause was unknown. And the impact of this loss of RNA integrity on safety and efficacy of the vaccines was, quote, yet to be defined. But it's safe and effective, though, right? I mean, it's absurd that these are real world concerns that are happening right now. And it's just, we'll just keep saying it's safe and effective because that's the mantra, despite the fact that it's unknown. Ultimately, on December 21st, EMA authorized Pfizer BioNTech's vaccine. So this is despite the fact that they found this and said this is dangerous, or that James Lyons Weiler, PhD, reached out and said, this is dangerous. And we see these dangerous epitopes. We see the polyethylene glycol that's going to cause all these anaphylactic shock problems. Oh, none of them cared. They ignored all of those emails and just went forward and approved the emergency authorization, or authorized it under the emergency authorization. See, even I see this. It's so frustrating. Is even I end up kind of, you get these things repeated. It's not approved. There's an approval and there's an emergency use authorization. The fact that they keep saying it's approved with that is a deceptive tactic, and it gets burned into your brain. But going forward on the 19th, the Defender reports, the CDC ignores inquiry into increasing number of deaths, injuries reported after COVID vaccines. Make sure I didn't miss something there. Okay. This is important around theirs. I've been saying this for a long time, as you guys know. CDC ignores inquiry into increasing number of deaths, injuries reported after COVID vaccines. Vayer's data released today showed 38,444 reports of adverse events following COVID vaccines, including 1,739 deaths, 6,286 serious injuries since December 14th, 2020. Just since December. 3 months, 4 months. We'll get, you know, actually, no, more, yeah, more, but think about how much that actually is in that small period of time. And this is, comparing this with something else is relevant, but understand that we're talking about something that is designed to treat you, to help you, to heal you, even that's what they're trying to frame it as. And the fact that it has this much effect, not side effect, this is an effect of this chemical they're putting in your body, is alarming, no matter how you spin it. Because it is a lot more than what we're seeing from any flu in the past vaccine, that is. On March 8th, the Defender contacted the CDC with questions about how the agency is investigating reports of deaths and injuries after COVID-19 vaccines. We provided a written list of questions asking the status of investigations on deaths reported in the media. If autopsies are being done, the standard for determining whether an injury is casually connected to a vaccine, and the known issues with VAERS, the reporting system, namely whether healthcare providers are in fact reporting all injuries and deaths that might be connected to COVID vaccines, which we know that they're not, and what education initiatives are in place to encourage and facilitate proper and accurate reporting, right? That's a huge point that no one talks about. They're not encouraging people to promote this stuff. They don't want you to report the side effects. We asked for a reply within 2 days. As of today, and this was the 19th, 11 days later, the CDC didn't respond. Now, before I go forward, it's so telling how we can have a spot where they already dismiss, which I'll get into next. But they're specifically asking them if these healthcare providers are reporting all this. And these are the same healthcare providers that are reflexively saying, no, it's not connected to the vaccine right out of the gate. So why would they report it? If they're so convinced it's not connected, they're not going to report it. But you see, that's not how it's supposed to go. You're supposed to report anything that happens afterward. According to Fauci, within 45 days. That's just very, very telling. Now it says they didn't answer. 11 days later. Instead, when they called them, they responded by saying, quote, they have received the email. They'll escalate it, and it's in the system. When they asked if they could speak with the person reviewing the email, they were told that information could not be provided. When they emailed to follow up, they didn't receive a response. According to the CDC's website, the CDC, quote, follows up on any report of death due to request additional information and learn more about what occurred and to determine whether the death was a result of the vaccine or unrelated. To date, the only information the CDC has published related to the investigation of COVID vaccine-related deaths and how those investigations were conducted is a COVID-19 vaccine safety update via the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices published on January 27th. The only information that they've published regarding investigations of all the stuff we've seen. The safety update analyzed, guess what? Only 198 reported deaths that occurred within the first month after the first COVID vaccine was administered in the U.S. It is unknown whether the CDC has investigated any of the 1,541 reported deaths since, or if investigations were even conducted, what the results even showed. But sure, it's all about keeping us safe and investigating all the possible. As I keep telling you, as an action, and anybody honest, even within these groups will tell you that they don't even have the resources to do this. They do not have the ability to follow up and investigate as it should be done with how many side effects we're seeing, or in fact, effects of this vaccine and experimental injection. Gosh darn it. Sure, there's so many things I'm trying to say instead of what they keep saying. It's just difficult. But that blows me away. 198 reports. That's it. That's as of January 27th, guys. And get this, the media keeps screaming that all of these things have been researched and none of them come back. I mean, I kept showing you that the other day where they're saying, no, every one of them is debunked. There's no evidence between any of these reports. They haven't even begun to investigate all these reports. And the media is blindly parroting that they're all safe and effective because they've all been looked into while it's still being safety tested. But I'm crazy, right? The safety update, 998, it says, on March 16th, the Defender reported that more than 20 countries suspended the use of AstraZeneca's vaccine, as I did as well. In fact, reporting based on their article, the World Health Organization said an ongoing analysis by its vaccine advisory committee had not established a causal link between the vaccine and blood clots, and that countries should keep using it. Right. Remember that? Remember how you're not supposed to challenge the WHO? Well, they were wrong, weren't they? Now we know that because we can see it, because it's already been reported by a bunch of different groups, including the Wall Street Journal. So they were wrong. So when people were deleted for saying the opposite, it turns out they were right. Isn't that funny how that works? But I'm sure they'll keep doing it anyway, because it's not about truth. It's about keeping the narrative the way they want it. How much more do we need to see to show that to people? Now it says the EMA said Thursday the vaccine, quote, may be associated with very rare cases of blood clots, but the agency still considers it to be safe and effective, and countries should continue to use it. As you know, I already reported. How is it safe and effective if we don't even know all the things it can cause? I mean, clearly blood clots just got discovered, but it's safe and effective though. According to Reuters, about a dozen countries resumed use of the vaccine today. And this was on the 19th, including Germany, Indonesia, France, the EU. British regulators said the benefits outweighed the risks of potential blood clots. You know, the risks of things that we don't know, but it outweighs those things we're not sure about. AstraZeneca's vaccine is not yet approved for emergency use, or it is not yet approved for emergency use in the United States. Excuse me, that is correct. It's insane. I mean, this is mindless repetition. Safe and effective. It's safe and effective because they said it was safe and effective. And is currently being safety tested, including on groups like pregnant women and children, even though that's horrific to me. But we pretend it's done. Oh, that's only about dosages and efficacy. No, they're safety testing. It's so obvious. And even their own companies state that, as I've shown you repeatedly. But people that don't want to hear it will ignore what Pfizer says about their own vaccine, or what the NIH continues to say about its own vaccine, because Fox or CNN tells them otherwise, because they're the experts, apparently. And to the gospels of mainstream media, or the followers of the mainstream media ideologues, it's they will blindly trust it because that's what they were taught. Here is what PolitiFact wants you to think about the VAERS database. Right, you know, the only place you're even able to report these side effects. The only place, right? So there's nowhere else you can go to report these side effects. And here's what PolitiFact has to say about it.
It's possible that you or someone you know has received a coronavirus vaccine. It's cause for celebration and relief.
Okay, so first of all, it's cause for celebration and relief. What about the woman that just died from a blood clot or from the anaphylactic shock? Is she still supposed to celebrate and have relief? Yes, I know that. The point is that it's absurd that all they do is frame this as like celebration for everybody everywhere. If you think anything bad, you're crazy. It's all good for everybody. People have already died, and we just proved that, right? We just proved that. Multiple groups have now verified that that is possible. So you can't keep saying anybody anywhere that gets this is cause for celebration. She just died. Don't think you can celebrate that, but they will anyway.
As the United States and other parts of the world try to close the worst chapter on the COVID-19 pandemic. But then, on your social feeds or elsewhere, you hear that there are terrible side effects of receiving a vaccine. A recent Facebook post said death reports in a...
Oh, don't you love that? So here we go to a single post from one group on Facebook. Not, you know, a group like myself that will cite the information and documentation. And they might as well. The point is they always pick some comment with just text on Facebook and act like that's where everybody got their information from. So they don't, the people that blindly take the fact checkers will not realize that there's people like us that are actually walking through the documentation, that are actually showing you what's happening and giving you the examples, which by the way, we've already done with VAERS before, and showing you that 1% of total reports even make it to VAERS to begin with. But here they are acting like this is, I mean, just look, before I even start playing again, a popular list implies COVID-19 vaccines contribute to deaths of dozens of people. It's misleading. The agencies warn against drawing inferences from individual reports. So it's not a popular list. What a gross misrepresentation. That is just blatantly dishonest. It's not just I say a popular list clearly implies a couple of things. One, that there's more than one, that if this is a popular one, which implies there's other less popular ones. There's not. This is the only place you're even able to report this anywhere in the United States. Okay. So the second thing is implying that it's just some casual list put together that's not really official. That's also incorrect. This is an official database. It's because they allow it to be where anybody can cite what they want to say on it, which is on purpose, so it can be then dismissed. That's a choice. The reality is it's not a popular list. It's a government database of potential side effects, potential negative effects of this vaccine that is being aggressively downplayed and dismissed by a fact-checking organization, right? I mean, please, lady, tell me where I should go then. Where would I go if I want to find the full, you can't go anywhere else? So let's not pretend this is some popular side list on Facebook. It's just so gross how obviously dishonest these people are. Let's keep watching.
Federal database show the fatal risk of COVID-19 vaccines. It goes down a list of patients listing their gender, age, date of vaccine administration, and date of death.
All of which are valid reports that have been submitted from people who actually had a death. Just because we don't know, it means it could be or it could not be. But to act like it's misleading is in itself misleading.
The implication that the COVID-19 vaccine has contributed to the deaths of dozens of people as young as 24. Hi, I'm Josie Hollingsworth with PolitiFact, and it's time for the Truth and Meter Minute.
It's funny how she just skipped past that, didn't answer the question, but leaves it open as if it's obviously dishonest.
I'll say it once, and actually, I'll say it a whole lot to whomever will listen. The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are considered safe, and they're really effective.
This is perfect. They're safe and effective. They're safe and effective.
Like top of the line, some of the most effective vaccines that have ever been produced.
Except they're nothing like any of the other vaccines, and they've never been successfully done until now. And they're not, in fact, vaccines. They're not even close to the same thing, right? But you can't. But they're going to pretend like it's more effective. How in the world can you pretend something is more effective than other things that are not even the same technology while this is still being tested? Even the people that are arguing against me are saying they're still testing for efficacy. Not safety, it's only efficacy. So doesn't that mean that they don't know how effective it is yet? It's like, gosh darn it, man. They can't even, as always, they're arguing one thing while discounting a previous thing that they've said. You don't know if it's safe or effective because it's still undergoing those processes. but we are the crazy ones, right? For screaming that it's, I'm not even saying that it's guaranteed to be what everyone else says it is. I'm simply stating that we don't know. And the information's not there yet for us to do, except all of the VAERS stuff is being discounted. So that's why we don't know. It's a choice. It's being gamed this way. And people like her step up and just repeat safe and effective and get a pat on the head from the government.
Effective. Other COVID-19 vaccines are in the pipeline, and experts have expressed a lot of hope about these drugs providing a large-scale return.
Oh, cool. Experts, you mean Fauci? All the experts. Fauci.
To pre-pandemic normal. But what about those social media
posts? Except we're never going back to normal, because they all keep telling you that, but keep telling people they will based on something that will never, ever lead them in that direction.
Posts claiming to be based on federal data and reporting. Well,
it is. It is. That's the frustrating part. Don't claim to be. It is. You can argue that they haven't been verified yet, but to pretend it's not a federal database is an obvious lie. She said that in the beginning.
Well, on a case-by-case basis, it's problematic with a capital P. Reports are copied from a national vaccine safety surveillance program set up by the CDC and the FDA. This database records health issues that arise after vaccinations as adverse events. You may be thinking, yeah, I would say that death is an adverse event. Of course it is. But this system accepts and records any and all reports of adverse events.
And there it is. Every single time this discussion is had, it comes down to the simple point that they go, well, we don't know, because that anybody can report anything. And is that our fault? Right? Is that my individual fault? Anybody out there who wants to know the truth, is it their fault that you've made sure this list is easily dismissible? Like, okay, let me ask you this then. What are they then doing to make sure that that ends up being resolved? Right? As we just discussed, nothing. 198 cases. 198 cases is all they've done in regard to researching this, or at least that they've posted for us to look at. So as they continue to scream that they've gone through all of this, remember, they don't even have the resources to do all of this, at least not right now. That's easy to find out for yourself. So she is stating what she's told is the truth as we look at the actual data.
And it comes with can't-miss caveats. Reports may contain information that is incomplete, inaccurate, coincidental, or unverifiable.
Right. So as we're standing here going, they could be deaths associated with the vaccine. They're standing there saying, no, it's not. They're not possible. Now you tell me which one's more logical, right? Just because they can be dismissed doesn't mean that they are and should be dismissed. That's what they're doing, though. Anything that hasn't been unequivocally proven is absolutely not a vaccine death. As we always point out, the absurd contradiction when you look at the numbers of COVID deaths, what they tell us. You can simply be tested with a PCR test and never have any symptoms and die 30 days later and be a COVID death just for your safety. But that safety doesn't apply in the same logic in regard to these. Sure, that makes sense.
Without further study, vaccine experts say it's almost impossible to tell whether a particular adverse event is linked to a vaccine or would have happened anyway.
Exactly. That's exactly what Eric Christensen said, the chief medical examiner of Utah. Okay, so fine. So we're going to allow this system that is basically irrelevant because of that fact to just continue? So basically they're admitting we simply don't have a system to take actual data. We just don't. Because you never really know. Because you see what she just said. Even if they do the investigation, there's never really any way to know whether the vaccine caused it. So what's the point of any of it? It's to make you think that there's actually some kind of accountability. And that's when all the other people stand up and lie about how all of it's been investigated. She just said that we don't know. Even the PolitiFact, while they're trying to pretend like it's all completely safe, even though we don't know whether they caused it.
The point of the database is to act as sort of an early warning system. It's for science.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm sorry to keep stopping it, but think about what she just said right there. Isn't that exactly what we're worrying about? Okay, so we have all these warnings. We see all these warnings, all these deaths and all these side effects, and all they do is say, nah, it's unverified. Doesn't seem like much of a warning system, does it? If it was a warning system, we would be warned. It would cause alarm. Clearly it's not. So that's not true.
Just to pinpoint issues that are widespread and do more research. The agencies warn
not happening either.
Drawing inferences from individual reports, as the skeptics did on Facebook. Quick aside.
How is it? What do you mean individual reports? The person listed a long running list of people who reported side effects. That's it. How is it any different than what you just did? Oh, I see. Because it's on Facebook and not PolitiFact.
Anti-vax, vaccine skepticism, whatever you want to call it. It's been around in the U.S. for centuries. Another time, I want to explore the extreme pushback that smallpox variolation faced in colonial America.
Yeah, the smallpox vaccine that basically caused a lot more damage, that historically speaking, you can look at the data and show that it was actually declining in and of itself, and that actually caused it to rise, and then it naturally declined itself again anyway, and they blame that on the vaccine. Yes, that kind of story that they'll never tell you.
All the way up until today's resistance to modern measles and coronavirus vaccines. The Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System has been around in the U.S. for a while. Not colonial a while, but like 1986 a while. Back in 2005, a physician named James Laidler wanted to demonstrate that this system has flaws. We don't know, but we can assume he was a Marvel comic book fan. He reported to VAERS that a vaccine turned him into the Incredible Hulk. For the record, he was not turned into the Hulk. But it is a really vivid thought.
Oh, great. So they're happy to take the example of why this is not something you should look to trust, but don't do it the other way around, right? Don't demonstrate how, in fact, that they, I mean, this is, anybody can report that. This is exactly the point. So if they know that people can report whatever they want, why do they keep the system the way it is? So it can be dismissed.
Both the CDC and the Hulk, I mean, Laidler, confirmed to PolitiFact that his side effect of turning into the Hulk was initially accepted and entered into the database as being an adverse event.
Okay, so what is the relevance of that? The point is, she just explained that anybody can report anything. To take such an extreme, ridiculous point is only to intentionally undermine everybody else's concerns. So that person that just lost their mother and think it's because of the vaccine, yeah, she's like that Hulk guy. It's probably not even true.
Someone like that social poster could have grabbed that public data and put it in a Facebook post, like I described earlier.
That's what he just did.
Rewrite the Facebook post that says death reports in a federal database shows the fatal risk of COVID-19 vaccines as mostly false.
But didn't you just say it should be served as a warning system? Isn't that exactly what he just did? He said, look at all these deaths. It's possibly happening. We should be concerned. I guess not. I guess that only works when you want to say they're good then, right?
Yes. These were real entries. But the agencies that maintain these databases warn that individual reports in them should not be used to draw conclusions about whether a vaccine causes a particular adverse event.
You know what that sounds like? Like with WikiLeaks and Cuomo, right? Don't look at it for yourself. Trust what we say about it, right? You're not smart enough to understand the ins and outs. So just take what we tell you. Just like that lady said, just stick your arm out and just take what you're given because you're a good citizen.
There's a lot you need to know about vaccines, including that vaccinated people may pass the virus on to others, so wearing a mask is still key.
So you remember when that was a conspiracy theory? Remember when that was fake news? Yeah, another thing we were right about from the very beginning, because I literally read the insert of Pfizer and Moderna and told you that back in July. But let's pretend like it's breaking news now because PolitiFact said it. This was literally called fake news. I said that you could read it in the documentation. Forbes reported on this in the middle of 2020, that they didn't even intend to know whether it stopped transmission. And now we're finding out that it doesn't. That's why they didn't pay to find out, because they knew that it wouldn't. That's my opinion. But it seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? They're clearly, if they did the research, they would have been coming out saying, well, guess what? It doesn't work. They didn't want that. So they can only 95% effective at stopping mild symptoms, which means it doesn't do anything. And as somebody pointed out the other day, to argue that it stops mild symptoms, but then go, well, we don't know, it might stop transmission, is inherently stupid. Why? Because if you have symptoms, it can't stop transmission. So if it can reduce the symptoms that you have, how in the world could it stop you from getting what you have? That's dumb. But in any case, we now know that it won't. And they're all keep wearing a mask. So you can still catch it, still spread it, as we keep telling you, that means it won't cause herd immunity. That means that you can still get sick, that people can still catch it, it can still spread. So none of this matters. Why take it anyway? Because they argue that it will make some difference on how much it spreads. Oh, but the variants, because, oh, what if they cause new variants? Then we're going to continue. The argument that this is a good thing, the good point to insert this. If our actions are in fact creating the variants, seems like a perfect plan, doesn't it? It'll continue to push and create and grow. And if all we had done is just left it up to natural immunity, well, that wouldn't have happened, would it? Maybe they probably know that. In any case, it's all up to you to make up your mind, as always. And all they want you to do, instead of thinking for yourself and looking through information, is trust what they tell you. That's the moral of the story in every single one of these. And as I keep pointing out, as Simon Dolan points out, you see they are now pushing the narrative that the VAERS vaccine side effect reporting tool isn't accurate and so should be ignored. You guys have been watching this show hopefully for a long time. You remember how long I've been saying that from the very beginning, before COVID-19 even started. Pretty telling. But as I said, exactly what I've been saying for a long time, VAERS was designed to be dismissible. So the real question you should ask yourselves, if this is designed to be dismissed, where else can they report negative effects of vaccines? You guessed it. Nowhere. Nowhere at all. But as Sean points out, where's the pharmacovigilance? Ah, excellent point, Sean, that I hadn't thought about, that we've talked about before. Do you remember what they told us? This is happening. You can prove this by people. You ask anybody that's gotten vaccinated. There's all sorts of checks and balance checks and you know, apps on their phone and God knows what else they're doing. So right now, the companies themselves, pharma, or Pfizer, Moderna, and the governments involved, they told you in their documentation, it's called pharmacovigilance. They will be monitoring every person that gets vaccinated for 2 years. So are we supposed to pretend like we don't know the side effects? Right? So we're dismissing VAERS, but they clearly have their own database. That's an interesting point because they are doing that. Where is that being posted? Why can't we see it? Interesting. Just going to show you again, all they want you to do is go, oh, that's the system that shows all those things, but there's a lot of reports, but that it's now, oh, there could be fake or dismissed, and we don't know for sure, as they gather up all their own information that they do know and don't share it. It's made to be dismissed. That's why this operates the way it does. Oh, and guess what, guys? Breaking news. Pfizer and Moderna vaccines contain polyethylene glycol, a substance used to coat the mRNA to help it access cells in the body, according to the Wall Street Journal. That's crazy news, right? Well, I've never heard that before. Don't you love the breaking news from the Wall Street Journal on March 16th, as we've been reporting this for 6 months? Mainstream media is a joke. And it's not because I argue that it's been turned into that. I think they've always been like that. But today, it's just a carefully cultivated delivery system. If they're reporting on March 16th that these vaccines have polyethylene glycol, I mean, they should be embarrassed. I mean, James Lyons Weiler can point that out way a long time ago. He actually points this out in emails before we even get this out. We've been reporting it since we saw that discussion. But breaking news from Wall Street Journal, and guess what, guys? PEGs have been found to cause allergic reactions in some people, though guess what? It's uncommon, according to Axios. Except that the Wikipedia right now shows you, and you can look at the link it takes you to, which is accurate, it's actually closer to 70% of the population, but that's, you know, it's uncommon, according to Axios, because Axios is mainstream media, and anything that makes the vaccine look bad is clearly rare and uncommon, despite it being potentially 70% of the population. But who cares? This is one of the most disgustingly blatant, aggressive campaigns to control your perception in ways that are so incredibly disconnected from the easy-to-find facts. I've never in my life seen it like this. In a way, it's pretty vindicating to see how clearly they're floundering, just lying blatantly and reporting breaking news of things that we've been telling you for 6 months. They're in a bad way, but this is actually why I believe that we are clearly win is the wrong word because it's still happening, but there is a lot happening right now that we need to recognize. And if we can capitalize on this momentum of people that clearly see this without getting them lost in some new QAnon or Russiagate manipulation, we can probably do a lot more than we've ever done before. Now, this is another discussion in regard to the vaccine of a nursing home. Now, this is translated. I think the title got lost in the translation. I'll go back to the actual article when we're done. This is that easy to read thing I do with my highlighter. Makes it, you'll see why, but I'll go back to show you the article before we leave. But let me read to you what happened here. And this is in regard to a nursing home. Hope was pinned on the vaccine at the St. Elizabeth Nursing Home on January 30th. The residents received their first injection. 2 weeks later, the coronavirus, they said, raged through the nursing home. Now, this was the dates on the other side. 2 weeks later, they raged through the nursing home. Today, it was announced that 22 residents have died in a week. 22 people died in a week. But because they're old, we go, well, coronavirus or whatever else, right? And even they're upset about it. With the start of vaccinations, we expected that the infections would decrease. but that did not happen. And we're very upset about that. So how many times do we need to see, like in Israel, where they get vaccinated, or what, 15 different nursing homes we pointed out now that no one cares to report on, where they vaccinate them? And then a huge 22 people die in a week. There's no way that this is not related. I mean, look, think about it this way, guys. If let's just say it's COVID-19, like that's what their argument is, right? So we're going to pretend that in a process of 1 week, 22 people caught it and died in 1 week. That's not even the time frame they give us for how this is supposed to work. It's supposed to be more of a 2 week time frame, even longer, as we hear from some people. But in 1 week, so that's like less than 7 days, according to this, how it was given, 22 people die. Guys, this is the kind of real world, almost undeniable evidence that they will never talk about, because after it gets reported in Veyers, it gets dismissed. And it says elderly people with dementia. What do you know? Elderly people with dementia are the people who live at St. Elizabeth Nursing Home. How many times do we need to see them seemingly target people that would normally be targeted by things like eugenics? It cannot in any case be determined with certainty whether the death is direct a consequence of the virus. Interesting that you'd think they would say vaccine there, but they're clearly questioning this because they're going, well, we can't prove the virus had anything to do with this. Very telling. But one more example in a growing list of examples of how they give the vaccine to elderly people, seemingly focusing on people that, you know, are draining resources. And in a week, 22 of them die. Remember, we showed you the discussion of the whistleblower. That's probably one of the reasons we got deleted on Facebook, on YouTube and everywhere else, of the whistleblower who caught them forcing their nursing home patients to take this vaccine, and six of them died later. Eight of them died. All of them had dementia, 31 of them. Forced them to take it. This is actually a really horrifying story. 95-year-old, quote, totally incapacitated after receiving two doses of the vaccine day apart. I still believe that a lot of this stuff is happening because they're testing. My opinion. Of course, it could just be incompetence, but all the more reason to not want to be involved in what's going on with all this right now. But remember, we saw the examples of people getting these back to back in the beginning, too. I find it impossible to believe that just keeps happening on accident over and over. But it's certainly possible. I just kind of contradicted myself. I find it impossible, but it is possible. 95 years old. Now, one of the questions we should ask is, why in the world would it be, of all the people, now I'm not saying that everybody, if you want this thing is the point, then you should have the opportunity to get this dangerous injection. It's up to you. But why it's being seemingly pressured on elderly people when people who die from this are, you know, by and large, I mean, I guess their argument is that that's why we should focus on them because they're more at risk. But this seems to be why, I mean, even the vaccine company said they didn't really test on elderly people in regard to the age group they're talking about. So it's, and yet again, this seems to be experimentation. But it says a 95-year-old woman in Toronto has been stuck in the hospital for more than 2 weeks after accidentally receiving two doses of this vaccine back to back. Brenda Wallen received her second dose of COVID-19 vaccine at her Toronto retirement home in March, but just a day later received what would be the third dose at New York General Hospital. Of course, North York General Hospital, while she was visiting for treatment of an unrelated leg injury. Right, of course. So you come in for something unrelated. Let's get these vaccines in your arm. Of course. Quote, the hospital said they tried calling the pharmacist at home, but the shots are administered not by the home, but through a hospital. It says, quote, they said that they checked there, but they couldn't get through. Nobody answered, or whatever was their reasoning for why they didn't find out she had the second shot and they gave her third anyway. First of all, these people should be fired. You know what it really comes down to, and this is my opinion, but this comes down to the fact that these people have been so aggressively targeted with propaganda, specifically healthcare workers, specifically in nursing homes, with the idea that this is the most promising, safest, most effective thing that's a lifesaver anywhere. So how much you want to bet it came down to where they weren't sure and they said, well, let's err on the side of the good thing because we know it's not dangerous, and gave it to her anyway. If you don't know whether somebody got their medication, especially something that's not time sensitive in regard to one day, you don't just give it to them anyway. These people should be charged with a crime. But the point is, guys, I can almost promise you this stems back to believing this is a good thing. And so they just better to give it to her anyway. Which means the government manipulated these people. Cynthia said her mother became increasingly confused after each dose, meaning it was already bad after the first one. But after the third, her condition dramatically changed for the worse. She was totally incapacitated. She had no idea that she's even there, she says, but that there's anybody there most of the time. She can't eat. She can't walk. Quote, it says, I don't think I'll ever have a conversation with her again. Cynthia said her mother was not in the best of shape before the vaccine and apparently, as she was told, had a, quote, asymptomatic infection, which, by the way, we know is probably just a fake PCR test because we know that the asymptomatic conditions are almost impossibly rare, if not gone. I mean, according to the Wuhan study, it seems basically non-existent. But other studies argue that it is equally almost non-existent, but that there are possible exceptions. But to me, I would argue it's probably just the example of the PCR test. We're seeing clearly that the PCR test is creating massive false positives. But they said, oh, well, we gave you a PCR test and you didn't have symptoms, though, but you were sick back in November, December. So this may be all a coincidence, they say, again, trying to blame it on the COVID-19, even though it had nothing and it was back in December. Think about how crazy that is. But doctors haven't been able to figure out what's wrong with her. Really? So two shots in a row after it'll be the third one. And they're pointing back to December and going, well, it might have been COVID. These people are ridiculous. Quote, they originally thought it was a stroke, but they've done scans. Doesn't that sound familiar? Stroke, vaccine, same one we're dealing with everywhere else. We're seeing the blood clots, same stuff, guys. And there's nothing wrong with what, then they can't find it. That's the problem. Says, I get it. The hospital needs beds. So there's nothing they can do at this point to help her. You get what's happening? They're kicking her out. So yeah, I get it. They need hospital beds. There's nothing they can do for her. So they did this. They made the mistake or tested on her. Created the situation by malfeasance, by doing the wrong thing, by negligence. And then they tell her she has to go home. Think about that. North York General Hospital declined to comment. If you're anywhere near North York General Hospital, never, please, ever, ever go there. If that's ever, I mean, the fact that they do that and then kick the person out, clearly they don't care about what their oath is to not doing any harm to people. Whalen said once her mother is released from the hospital, she will need increased care, which could mean additional costs and separating from her parents, which I'm sure the government will have nothing to do with. So yet again, medical treatment causing the problem. She's going to need feeding. She's going to need her medication given to her. So that's an additional $8,000 from what we're already paying. Perfect. Right. So they created the problem that's even worse for these people, based on what they did and made the mistake. And of course, the one I'm sure what you're all asking right now, they didn't even mention that article, and you won't find it on any. This is the only article I found that even mentioned it. The maker of the two doses, well, three, that's funny, three doses she received is also not clear. In Canada, where she is, has all three of Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson. So weirdly, they just don't want you to know which one it was. I wonder why. You see, because that's not a piece of information that gets left out unless you're in the middle of a manipulation campaign that's aggressively trying to stop vaccine hesitancy. That, in fact, would be the most relevant thing to include in a discussion of how she got the vaccine that caused the problem. Now, understand, this isn't some Bayer's report. This is an absolutely clear report that they gave her a third vaccine right after the second one, which caused the problem. And then they still refuse to tell you what fact. This is crazy. Absolutely crazy. Yes, it's the same story. Very sad. And then to follow up, though, as we're giving extra shots to people when they don't want it, regular booster vaccines are the future. So it's all going to go back to normal, except never going to go back to normal ever, because they're always telling you that. You're going to have to continue to get these COVID-19 vaccines. Why? Because of the continuing battle with COVID-19, top genome expert says. The point is, the novel coronavirus, which they claim has killed 2.65 million people, which as a guarantee, we know that's not the right number. As a fact, we know that it's less than that because they're combining things for our safety, they say. Flu, pneumonia, they're already stating that. They say it was PIC right on the website. Then we know the PCR test has a huge possible false positives, potentially 97%, which we'll get into in a minute. So we know, as a matter of fact, that's not the correct number. How much it's less, that's up for you to decide. people globally since it emerged in China, which is also not verified. In fact, the evidence seems to suggest that it was a lot of other places before China, but who cares about any of that? Mutates around once every 2 weeks, they say. They're telling you right now that this mutates every 2 weeks. And that, in fact, is slower than the flu or HIV. But enough to require tweaks to the vaccine using their plug-and-play Moderna platform, right? That's what they're telling you. So if influenza mutates more than that, how come we don't need vaccines every 2 weeks? All right? If HIV mutates more than that, how come we haven't been seeing problems with that? Isn't that weird? But see, now they're saying, but only think about COVID, because that's all it is. COVID is all you should think about right now. And it mutates once every 2 weeks. So once every 2 weeks, we're potentially talking about new vaccines. That's not a joke. And guess what they told you? They can just plug and play. They take the new variant, they plug it in, and they circulate the new vaccine. Update your vaccine passport cards. Now you got to get the new one, or you can't go eating, can't go to the shores, can't go in the bus. This is real, guys. This is right now happening. Sharon Peacock, who heads COVID-19 genomics in the UK, which has sequenced nearly half of all the novel coronavirus genomes so far mapped globally, because that's not unnerving, said international cooperation was needed in the cat and mouse battle with the virus. They just want you to know it's never going to go away. It's for the rest of your life, we're going to play cat and mouse with this thing that's never been around, but now it is. It says we have to anticipate that we are always going to have booster doses. But we're going to go back to normal, though. No, we're not. They're telling you every day that we're not. Immunity to coronavirus doesn't last forever, except it does when you get it naturally, though. Remember that? Funny how the NIH can state things that contradict the current narrative, and that doesn't change the narrative, right? January 26th, lasting immunity found after recovered from COVID-19, not the vaccine, but from getting the thing and naturally recovering, and it's lasting. They make a point to state that it's a lasting immunity, okay? So how in the world can we be at a position where they're telling you, where were we, that immunity to coronavirus doesn't last forever? We're talking about the vaccine, right? So they go, well, the vaccine doesn't last forever, so we have to get a booster dose. But if you just caught it naturally, that wouldn't be the case. Who cares, though, right? We're only talking vaccines here, right? That is why in Israel, the green pass with the vaccine passport doesn't apply to natural immunity. You can have natural immunity for the rest of your life, and you still won't get a passport until you get the vaccine, and you get your temporary immunity. Does that make sense to anybody? It only makes sense when you realize that it's only about the vaccine, at least in this part of the agenda. How in the world can natural immunity that lasts longer not get you a pass? Because it's not an immunity passport. It's a vaccine passport. And as Off-Guardian points out, your daily dose of perspective. This is important. They promise that there is a red line on the last column. If you can't see it, well, that the point is made. And it is there. I've zoomed in really far. You can barely see it if you look close. But here's the point. Okay, comparing pandemics. Black Death, 1347 to 1353. The red is the percentage killed, while the whole thing is the population. Kansas flu, incorrectly known as the Spanish flu, quite a bit smaller. Here's COVID-19. And remember, the numbers are absolutely blown up. That's a fact. To what degree? Again, it's up to you to decide. Even that number, which we know is less, is not even visible compared to the other ones. But let's continue to destroy our lives based on the hypothetical. Thank you, Off-Guardian, for continuing to do work that's in the interest of everybody but the government. Now, on to the vaccine passport part of this. And by the way, let's see where we're at here. Make sure that if you're on the YouTube page, share it out. I want everyone on YouTube to see this before they delete the thing, because it's going to happen. I can almost promise you that. But thank you, everyone else, for being here, for all the platforms, including on Rockfin. It looks like we got a good amount of people there today. Live comment for me while we're live. Okay, back to it. Now, vaccine passports is a very real thing that I keep kind of joking about. They're still acting like this is sort of a fake news topic. This is a horrifying reality. As this person says, my neighbor who has stage 4 breast cancer told me that she just got the vaccine because she was informed at her last chemo appointment that if she did not consent to the vaccine, that she would be declined cancer treatment. Now, but the only reason I read this as something that I can't confirm is because I already have examples of stuff exactly like this happening from things that I just can't publicly talk about. And this is horrifying because this is exactly what going back to all the other stuff we just reported on. Right? All the discussions of why, you know, it's not dangerous. It is the Veyers report. We can't confirm and all the different things. Well, none of that would really matter if this wasn't being forced on everybody or less so. But because we know that it's being forced on people just like this, it's coercive. That stuff matters exponentially more because if you have even the smallest risk with something that you have a 99.97% chance of not even getting, you have a right to say no. The reality that turning this down, of course, is common saying, well, because cancer and the treatments and conflicts, and so the doctor made the right call. The point is, this is an experimental vaccine. You can't force people to take something in regard to a different treatment when it's still being evaluated. This doctor should not be a doctor because he's obviously completely snowed by the pharmaceutical industry and the CDCs and the FDAs of the world that have clearly shown their hand over the last 20 years. Blindly, because that's how they're taught in school today, as plenty of doctors have admitted to. Okay, this is interesting. First of all, I would argue it's probably a blessing in disguise. Screw both of them. Walk away. Get some cannabis oil. Get some hydride, some cannabidiol. Screw both of these things because chemo works about 3% of the time when it's all said and done. If a company made a car that broke down 97% of the time, would they be in existence? No. But the reason chemo still is because it is a byproduct, first of all. And secondly, it is something that the doctors get a direct cut from. It is the only classification of pharmaceutical drug where the doctors get a direct cut of the profit. That is why it still gets used when it's 3% success rate. That's disgusting. So in any case, the point is that what we're seeing is people that are refusing medical treatment for people that need it, at least in the guise of what we're told we need. I agree that chemo is not what she needs, in my opinion, but that they're saying you can't have this unless you get this thing that's still being tested, this thing that is clearly having reported of all kinds of side effects. That's sickening to me, but this is what's happening. China is already launching its virus passport. Weird virus passport. It's a strange way to put it, but it's happening all over the place. This is not a secret. It's not being hidden. Now, China also guessed it from Breitbart, urges the WHO to let it run global vaccine passport system, which is just crazy to me. But I argue that, I mean, I think they, oh, dang it. I had stuff highlighted down here, but in any case, it's the same point. I just think it's incredible that they want to be able to create this passport and verify that people have had, according to Breitbart, specifically the Chinese vaccine. But that makes sense because I think the US would do the exact same thing. They wouldn't trust the rest of them because bad guy vaccines and blah, blah, blah. But the point is, and I think they're all bad, that they would do the same thing. So it's interesting. In any case, all it shows you is that all of them are vying for that sort of idea, a global passport system. And we've already seen discussions from government saying we need a international system to be able to make these all work. You know, that thing that's never going to happen, according to Twitter. Well, it is clearly happening. And guess what? It's been happening long, long before COVID-19. This is from ec.europa.eu. It's from the government website. Roadmap for the implementation of actions by the European Commission based on the Commission communication and the Council recommendation on strengthening cooperation against vaccine-preventable diseases. Okay, so this is of 2019. I think maybe updated 2019 since we're seeing 2018 there. In any case, it's long before COVID-19. Let's take a note of what some of these things have to say. Examine the feasibility of developing a common vaccination card passport for EU citizens. Okay, so the thing that they pretended would never happen because it violates our rights, they were already documenting and planning back in 2019? Shocker. Who could have thought? Seeing as how they were already discussing ID 2020 in the same time frame, which was linked to the exact same thing in regard to passing vaccine passports. But the thing, it was quiet and it was dismissed as conspiracy theory, except it's not now because we see it all happening. The point is, guys, this was being planned before we got to COVID-19 era. Now, you could pretend that that's just because they saw it all coming with the whole biosecurity, or it was clearly something that was being used made to happen, or at the very least capitalized on, because they had a very clear agenda. And guess what the timing was for it, right? So the study of the feasibility for these vaccine passports was supposed to go right until now. That's interesting. And then, of course, by 2022, well, we'll have them. Interesting how 3-4 years out, they had the timeline down to a T. Even though COVID-19 happened, it didn't even disrupt the plan at all. Almost like it was the plan. Isn't that funny? Produce on a regular basis a report on the state of vaccine confidence. Well, isn't that Orwellian? What they're talking about, which is already happening, is a report of how hesitant you are to be vaccinated by your government. That's the modern version of the dissidents in regard to independent media, right? The people that push back against the narrative and the agenda. In regard to actions, convene a coalition for vaccination to bring together European associations of healthcare workers. So this is basically meant to influence the healthcare workers. You know, they clearly failed in that regard, seeing as how 60% of them are going, hell no, we're not taking that thing. EU public awareness initiative for vaccination during European, all these things are timed exactly with where we're going right now. Strengthen the impact of the annual European Immunization Week. Identify barriers to access and support interventions to increase access to vaccination for disadvantaged and socially excluded groups. You know, the people with the eugenics program, in my opinion. Now, moving forward, develop EU guidance for establishing comprehensive electronic immunization information systems, right? So that's the infrastructure around your vaccine passport. And this one was planned to be done right now. Isn't that weird? Funny how 2022 is just blank. It's almost like they planned to have this ready just in time for COVID-19. Isn't that funny? It's weird how it perfectly aligns. Guidance on overcoming legal and technical barriers to the interoperability of national immunization information systems. So you mean the exact problem we were just talking about? The problem of a global vaccine passport is how in the world could they know that there'd be enough going on that would drive the world to institute such a thing? I mean, really think about this one point for a second here, guys. They're talking about overcoming the legal and technical barriers between 2021 and 2022 of national immunization information systems, right? So they're talking about the thing that we just discussed and knowing the time would be right now, of something that nobody anywhere was doing yet, but somehow knew it would be all around the world by this time. Sure, we could argue they're guessing, wishful thinking, but when taken in conjunction with every other thing we've told you about, all the foreknowledge we've seen from the vaccine, from the AI plans to the bailout plans from BlackRock and all the different things, they all saw this coming, from the politicians who made money on the collapse before it happened, 2 months of Salawi selling, I mean, on and on and on, they all saw this coming, and we're just supposed to pretend like this is all for you. Strengthen existing partnerships with collaboration with international actors. Global Vaccination Summit, right? This is in 2019. This is Gavi. Actions, developed evidence-based tools and guidance in order to support countries to anticipate, preempt, or respond to crisis situations. They go right up to 2021. Interesting. Counter online vaccine misinformation. And develop evidence-based information tools. Countering online vaccine misinformation, taking into account the Commission communications on tackling online disinformation. Incredible. European vaccination information sharing. So again, this speaks to the sharing amongst countries. Collect vaccination coverage data, sharing amongst everyone. This is personal information that's shared amongst countries. Of course, it's all autonomy, secret and anonymous, which never happens. Even France made that clear when they claimed that and then sold it to the highest bidder. Continuously monitor the benefits and risks of vaccines, meaning in your body. Continuously. Post-marketing surveillance studies. Work towards developing common methodologies and strengthening the capacities to assess and relate effectiveness of vaccines and vaccination programs. Propaganda. Now, see, I feel like there was something else I wanted to show you in here, but in any case, it just the point is to recognize that they saw this coming, and they somehow knew to have all this ready, right to the exact date. Now, I downloaded this on The Last American Vagabond, because I don't know where this will end up, so this I'm going to say I'll include both links for you, but this will be on the Last American Vagabond server, so you can find that there. Now, here's an interesting point. We keep talking about that. Don't challenge the WHO guidelines, right? Patreon's literally censoring us based on this nonsensical statement, while your governments are currently contradicting the WHO in multiple ways. Now, again, I apologize for the first part of this. I should keep forgetting to clip this out. I just want to get it right to where he's saying that they shouldn't do lockdowns, but let's listen to him anyway.
Well, a problem we don't think about in lockdowns is that they're very nationalistic. That if we lock down our economy, then it hits our economy. But it also means we are not buying stuff. We're not trading with weaker economies. We are not just destroying our own jobs. We're destroying the jobs of all those that in the poorer parts of the world that export to us. That seemed to me to be a reasonable point.
Really important point by Professor Gupta. I want to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Just look at what...
Now, he goes on to talk about specifically that it has one main effect, that it makes poor people poorer. I've played that for you many times. But the real takeaway is to recognize that he's saying lockdowns are not what we should be doing. They are not the primary means of stopping this. And that's literally what all these countries continue to do. That is their primary means, that they're using the lockdown to stop this. When the moment, oh, new variant, lockdown. All right, we keep seeing that. So how come they're allowed to contradict World Health Organization guidelines, right? It's absurd. It's an absurd contradiction. So here's another one. Interim position paper, considerations regarding proof of COVID-19 vaccination, regarding vaccine passports. Here's what the WHO has to say. At the present time, it is the WHO's position that national authorities and conveyance operators should not introduce requirements of proof of COVID-19 vaccination for international travel as a condition for departure or entry, given that they are still critical unknowns regarding the efficacy of vaccination in reducing transmission. And now we know that it doesn't stop transmission. So the point is, that doesn't make sense. Clearly, the WHO can see that. And then it goes on to say, considering that there are as limited availability of the vaccines, which I argue that's probably not true, preferential vaccination of travelers could result in inadequate supplies of vaccines for priority populations considered at a high risk of severe COVID-19 disease. So in any case, what they're saying is we shouldn't do this. But what's interesting is the fact that there's limited availability is almost why they are arguing we should do it. But at the same in other countries. But at the end of the day, what they're saying is, one, if it's going to create a situation where there's discrimination at the very least. But on top of that, if we don't even have enough and only a third of the population is vaccinated, are you really going to turn 66% of your population into people that can't act normally? The whole point of what a lot of people are saying is the only way this works is if you have the vast majority vaccinated and then you use it to coerce the rest of them, which is, I don't even know why anybody thinks that's okay to do. But the point is that this is wrong because this is why I keep telling you, you are the majority. Guys, hear me. You are the majority. If we're watching 60% of our healthcare workers say no, if we're watching them not be slowly creeping past that third of the country position, the majority is at least skeptical of what this is. We need to see that. I just wanted that. That's a very important point. But the next one in general is, I had another one. That's right. It was repetitious. I didn't want, the point was made in multiple places that the WHO does not agree that vaccine passports should be used right now, but they're happening everywhere anyway. So lockdowns, they don't agree with. Vaccine passports, they don't agree with. Yet those are the two main things that are happening in most of these countries. So I guess we just gave up on the don't challenge the WHO guidelines, right? Except when we do it, or they claim we do it, that's their excuse for deleting us. Clown world, that's what it's called. It's ridiculous. And yet that's why people like you are here are laughing at how dumb that is and how wildly lost people are that can't see how crazy obvious that deception is. But to the point about the idea that the infrastructure is not, or the capacity is not there. A rapid COVID-19 vaccine rollout backfired in some U.S. states. So let me get this straight. So the fact that they rapidly rolled it out, even though it was already Operation Warp Speed rapidly rolled out in the first place, is why it didn't go out fast enough? I'm not even kidding. That's actually what they're arguing here. You'll see why. Despite the clamor to speed up the U.S. vaccination drive against COVID-19 and get the country back to normal, the first 3 months of the rollout suggest faster is not necessarily better. Okay, how do you possibly argue that? Like, based on their narrative, understand. The whole point is that we just don't have enough. Even though they at least admitted once throughout this process that they did have some and were waiting for them to order it when they said they didn't have enough. And now people aren't getting it. So I argue they're trying to desperately make it seem like we're just having struggling, where it's incompetence, and that's why. Not because you don't want it, as everybody turns it down. As they aggressively begin propagandizing us in the hope that we turn and change our minds. But it says a surprising new analysis found that states such as South Carolina, Florida, and Missouri, Florida being one that's clearly resisting, that raced ahead of others to offer the vaccine to ever larger groups of people have vaccinated smaller shares of the population than those that move more slowly and methodically, such as Hawaii and Connecticut. Well, gee, what does that show you? It probably shows you that the aggressive push to manipulate people to get this thing doesn't work very well because they're very skeptical of our government today. The explanation, as experts see it, which experts, who cares, is that the rapid expansion of eligibility caused a surge in demand too big for some states to handle and led to serious disarray. Are you serious? We're screaming about how we're going to vaccinate 300 million people by the, or what is, I think he said 100 million people by the end of a certain day, by March, something. And then because these people start doing what he says, suddenly we're like, oh, you went too fast. We're out. Now we're done. We don't have any more. I mean, a child could see that that doesn't even make sense. Either they didn't order what they said they did, which is one of the possibilities, or they made a huge mistake somewhere and it's their fault also, or nobody's taking it. In any sense, it doesn't show you anything other than this government is just wrong. And whether it's that they're making mistakes or that they're incompetent or that they're lying to get something pushed into your arm, I don't know why we would trust these people. Especially when they're the government that has tested on you before, that's lied to you before, that's hurt you with vaccines before. Vaccine supplies proved insufficient or unpredictable. Websites crashed and phone lines became jammed, spreading confusion, frustration, and registration among many people. That sounds like you messed up. Or you made that happen so it could look like that's why we didn't get them. The infrastructure just wasn't ready. It kind of backfired. I mean, this is getting pathetic. Like, you realize that they, as I always say, they would rather look incompetent than us to recognize that the vast majority doesn't want this thing, right? But what's funny is they've had a year, like an entire, this whole time frame. I mean, let's just say since Biden's been here, he's had 4 months and it's just not ready. It's just silly. I mean, I'm embarrassed as an American that this is what's going on right now. But in regard to the PCR test, which is also a very important part of this, seeing as how everything stems back to this illusion being created by the PCR test. Now, this is from March 19th. Professor Michel Chostovsky, the WHO confirms that the COVID-19 PCR test is flawed. Estimates of, quote, positive cases are meaningless. The lockdown has no scientific basis. Exactly 1 year later, after they started the test in January 23rd, 2020, 1 year later, on January 20th, 2021, the WHO retracts. They don't say we made a mistake. The retraction is carefully formulated, and we covered this mostly, but I wanted to reiterate this. While the WHO does not deny the validity of their misleading January 2020 guidelines in regard to how they should use the PCR test, specifically the cycle threshold, which, by the way, was supported by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they nonetheless recommended, quote, retesting based on that issue, which, as they point out, everybody knows is literally impossible. We'll just trot around the country and retest all those millions of people. No big deal. We'll be done by next week. No, we can't even vaccinate people. We just pretend like that's going to happen. That was never meant to happen. But the idea is that they're saying so what they just did is called into question every test that happened up until now. And again, we already covered this. Now, it says the World Health Organization tacitly admits 1 year later that all PCR tests conducted at a 35 cycle amplification threshold or higher are invalid. But that is what they recommended in January 2020. In consultation with the virology team at the Charité Hospital in Berlin. Now, recognize that none of that statement is incorrect. Before we even get into what they said, all this reeling about, hey, you didn't say to turn down the cycle threshold, that's not even what we're arguing. The mainstream media just read the first paragraph and screamed that we got it wrong, like they often do. What we're talking about here is that they put out a statement that discussed very clearly, and I'll read you exactly what they said. That these things, if done in this certain way, should be retested, meaning that they're not correct or at least invalid. And so, and they're saying between 35 or higher. Okay. In January 2020, they recommended 35 or higher, between 35 and I believe 40 to 45, which means there's no way to misunderstand that. They admitted that those previous ones were at the very least now in question. Nobody in the mainstream media even came close to talking about that. If the test is conducted at 35 cycle threshold or above, which again was recommended by the WHO, that's a fact, segments of the SARS-CoV-2 virus cannot be detected, which means that all the so-called confirmed positive cases tabulated in the course of the last 14 months are invalid. Now, here's what they actually said. This is a statement by the WHO, and here's the document itself. For you, I've shared this many times. You guys can look at it for yourselves. It says, WHO guidance diagnostic testing for SARS-CoV-2 states that careful interpretation of weak positive results is needed. The cycle threshold needed to detect virus is inversely proportional to the patient's viral load, where test results do not correspond with the clinical presentation. A new specimen should be taken and retested using the same or different NAT technology. So what they're saying right there is, now that we know this, what happens is, okay, if you test it and you get this result we're talking about, you're supposed to retest it right there. But what about all the ones before that? Are we going to pretend like they're going to seek every one of them out? Some of these people have already taken action based on this stuff. They're not going to do that. So the point is, everyone before this is now potentially invalid. There's no way to misunderstand that. WHO reminds IVD users that the disease, and that's the, this is what we're talking about for the test, that disease prevalence alters the predictive value of test results. That's exactly what we're talking about. As disease prevalence decreases, the risk of false positive increases. So the further you look in, the higher your chance of false positives. The higher you bring that cycle threshold, the higher the chance of false positives. It's not hard to miss, but the mainstream media seemingly missed it. This means that the probability that a person who has a positive result where SARS-CoV-2 is detected is truly infected with SARS-CoV-2 decreases as prevalence decreases, irrespective of the claim specificity. Very clear. But because they didn't say, we have had the cycle threshold too high, you need to turn it down, the media went crazy and said, fake news, they didn't even read it. When clearly they didn't even come close to reading what this thing said, or they didn't care that it said what we clearly said that it did. It's there's no way to misunderstand this. These are invalidated. Now it says, from the onset, the PCR test has routinely been applied at a cycle threshold amplification of 35 or higher. I've been telling you this from the very beginning. Following the January 2020 recommendations by the WHO for exactly that. And again, you can look it up for yourself. What this means, and by the way, it's in the document I just showed you. What this means is that the PCR methodology as applied worldwide has in the course of the last 12 to 14 months led to the compilation of faulty and misleading COVID statistics, which have been used to create what we're dealing with. And these are the statistics which are used to measure the progression of so-called pandemic. Above an amplification cycle of 35 or higher, the test will not detect the virus. Therefore, the official COVID numbers are meaningless. It follows that there is no scientific basis for confirming the existence of a pandemic, which in turn means that the lockdown economic measures, which have resulted in social panic, mass poverty, and unemployment, allegedly to curtail the spread of the virus, have no justification whatsoever. Now, in the Dresden report, I believe that was the name of it. Drosten study. I also read this on the show. This is what they read. This includes a lot of experts, including Michael Eden, I was looking this up earlier and I was blanking on. I want to make sure I get his title right because I said it the other day and I was like, wait a minute. Pfizer scientist, but see, of course they're downplaying what he is. I felt like he was had a higher title than that. Somebody in chat can say it for me if they want to inform, make sure everybody knows. Any case, the point is he had a high position for Pfizer. I just want to make sure I said it correctly because that's important to me. Let me close that real quick. Back to the show. Okay. Now, they say in this discussion, as I've already actually read to you, quote, if someone is tested by PCR as positive when its threshold is 35 cycles or higher is used, as is the case in most laboratories in Europe and the United States, the probability that said person is actually infected is less than 3%. The probability that said result is a false positive is 97%. This is science. You can argue it's wrong. You can argue that whatever you want, but you can't continue to say, trust the science when they're clearly doing science and finding the facts that contradict what we're being told. And by the way, there's no science that argues that's not the case. You realize how stupid that is. There's no study that argues that 35 to 40 is in fact what we should be doing. They all admit we shouldn't have done it. We all know they were doing it this whole time, and yet we act like it's fake news somehow. This is the point of how they very clearly used what they had from the PCR test to create a height in numbers. And then you remove that, and suddenly this isn't even happening. It's crazy. Now, on top of that, we have the ONS admitting. And this is also something reported about, but I wanted to reiterate this again. And this is the fact that not only they're using the wrong cycle threshold, but the ONS, Office for National Statistics, is admitting that they've ignored manufacturers' instructions for this testing. The Office for National Statistics has admitted that in its COVID infection survey, it has been reporting PCR tests as positive when only a single coronavirus gene is detected. Despite that being contradictory to the instructions of the manufacturer. Remember, the very thing that this whole thing was about. Read the instructions for use, remember? Well, they didn't care because they continue to do this. Despite being contrary to the instructions, that two or more targeted genes must be found for a positive result to be declared. So it literally says that in the instructions, they ignored it and used one and said it's a positive. That is a lie. It's not even just dishonest. That's a blatant lie. According to a rapid response by the BMJ, which you can look at as well, these are always good to read. Very important stuff. It's calling this out. Positive results from the UK single gene PCR testing may be inconclusive. But it's saying that this is called out this week by Dr. Martin Neal, a statistics professor at the University of London. Testing only a single gene this way massively increases the risk of a false positive because of the possibility of cross-reactivity with other coronaviruses as well as a prevalent bacteria or other contamination. So not only are they making sure that the cycle threshold has a possibly 97% false positive rate, but they're adding to that by only using one gene in the test that even already has a 97%. This is just crazy. This is obvious in every direction, making sure that it makes this happen. I mean, this is either the most incompetent grouping of people that we've ever seen anywhere, or they're putting this together to make this happen in some degree. I just don't know how we can see it any other way. Here is an example of that. Bavarian beer test. And guess what? The beer test positive for COVID. What do you know? And by the way, we did this Dr. Scoglio, PhD, did this live in front of everybody. He tested a Kiwi, came back positive, right? He's the one telling you that this has a false positive 97% based on his research. And here we go. It's cold. There you go. Beer, right? I'm sure the beer's got COVID-19 though, right, guys? The beer's got COVID-19 as much as the Scottish hospitals were overrun. But they weren't though. Because here's the Scottish hospital death rate or death information from 2010 all the way to 2020 because of a FOIA release. Guess what we found? This is somebody that sent it to me. Thank you. You know who you are. I never know if people want me to share their names, so I tend to just leave it out. But if you, and by the way, if you want me to say thank you, I'm happy to do it. So let me know. But here's the information. 2020, 27,967. What happened in 2019? 27,860. Wow. Clearly, there was a massive pandemic that happened in 2020, right? Because it went up by 100 people. Woo! Crazy. Well, you could argue that, well, because we were only dealing with COVID and everybody else that was dying died. So look, it doesn't matter how you spin this. If it's the narrative they're saying, and this is the biggest pandemic we've had in a century, it doesn't matter if you offset it with other things, it wouldn't just equal itself out. Wouldn't happen. That's, they're lying to you. This is a misrepresentation of what actually happened. Here is what they're telling you happened in Scotland. Since the start of the outbreak, 7,552 people have died to have tested positive as of 21 March. 9,831 more deaths have been registered in Scotland where COVID-19 was mentioned on the death certificate. 33% of COVID-19 registered deaths related to death in care homes. Of course, all care homes all around the world. Let's pretend like that has no bearing on the whole story. 60% were in hospitals. 6 were in the home or non-institutional, right? So if they have 10,000, 20,000 people dying from this, they claim, you wouldn't see the same thing. I mean, for crying out loud, they had more deaths in 2015. We are being gamed and deceived. And people are so invested in the narrative because it's the right thing to do. So they're told that they just don't even care. They don't care. If they see this and it says if something different than what they're told, they're convinced it must be fake news. That is the power of propaganda. But I feel like, I think this is where we're at, 2:30. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here, guys. I'm going to actually do a show more on this. This was meant to be a passing point anyway, and I'm going to follow up more and do more of a show on mass again. But just to wrap it up here, not going to cover like a whole bunch of stuff I was going to go over, but I'll get it later. Converging technologies in that new document. I'll cover that. So just kind of a teaser, seeing as how it's not in the title. We're going to get into this in a coming show. Thank you for who shared this with me. There's very interesting stuff here about where this is going, but it kind of gets, that's going to be another hour if I go into this. So we're just going to leave it here. But to finish off with the mask discussion, Justin Hart points out, breaking, do mask mandates work? Our analysis below. They looked at cases on days where mask mandates were in place and when they're not. Not just specifically days. You can look at the information. It's more about just the, you know, time frames with mask mandates in place versus when they weren't. We calculated the cases per day, adjusted for population, and guess what? Places with mask mandates had 27 cases per day per 100,000 people. Places with no mask mandates had 17 cases per 100,000 people. Same thing. Isn't that incredible? Now you can say, oh, he must be wrong. He's a fake news. Let's look into it for yourself, because you know what? The data's there. And the reality is, this is not even new. We've already talked about this. What we can see continuously is that all of the actions they're telling you to take are directly, verifiably leading to more illness, more problems, more control. It's just, the question is just whether you are willing to look at it for yourself. It's really always been that obvious. And I actually believe that people are beginning to see it. Perfectly, I'm wearing somebody shared that Gape sent me this. I do not consent. I will not comply. I love it. I love it because it's just something that, you know, it applies to everything we're dealing with today, right? It's about whether or not you are willing to put your foot down. I am all about peaceful resistance. Imagine 300 million people simply saying, we're not going to move. We won't do it. What are they going to do? That's the power of, one, seeing that you have that support, knowing that it's there, as well as doing something with it. So the first step we need to do is recognize that we are not alone, that we do have enough people, because clearly if we didn't have enough people to push back, they wouldn't be so aggressively trying to stop what we're doing, hide what we're doing, and counteract what we're saying. Now is the time, guys. As James Corbett and I discussed on that interview, as he pointed out, in regard to the gulag discussion, in one version of our future, well, we will be looking back 30 years from now going, I wish we would have done something when we had the chance. I wish we would have stood up. I wish we would have resisted and shown people that we can when we had a chance. because that's quickly dissipating. And we just need to stand up now and take advantage of the momentum that we have to stop what we clearly know we don't want. And hopefully the information I continue to bring to the table will help you in doing so. I love you all. Thank you for being here. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Struggles we bear, make your listen back clear. See the struggles we bear, nobody don't care. I'm stuck in my house.
Get out of the way. What the hell are you doing to this woman? What are you doing?
Nobody don't care. I tell you, nobody cares. I turn on my TV, everybody is fighting, they're fighting. Can't you see they're dividing, dividing? They're afraid of the whole of us, soul of us. Can't you see they're dividing, dividing? Cause they don't wanna see us living together. They prefer seeing us canceling each other. They wanna see us die, they wanna see us try. Fear-mongering that is trending. 1984, them defending. Global reset, a new life pending. Better wake up and stop from sleeping. Remember the FEMA campus, they're waking. Who know what I take them indoctrination? No re-education, no depopulation.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed.
Hold on a minute, don't take her away! Hey, don't take her away!
Stand for nothing, your father, everything. It's the message.